The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver! Drive me!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellfish together, Andy! You got payback coming!
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
You aren't.
Wow, it's the off season. I forgot to put my mic on.
Some things will never change.
Shwaka. But here we are at Gillette Stadium, do what we do best, talking Patriots football when the rest of the world is talking about deer antlers and gay people in the locker room and all this other stuff. We're talking about Patriots.
Is there another way you could say that?
Well, you
Isn't
know,
there a famous movie line, know, deers and.
It's interesting because, it's so funny because you go down to the Super Bowl, you have the 49ers and you have the Ravens, and obviously Ray Lewis is a storyline. And Colin Kaepernick is a storyline.
Kaepernick, too.
But they have managed to come up with some different storylines.
The interesting thing is the Harbaugh thing has kind of been forgotten. Like, you know, well, maybe I'm not watching enough.
Aside from yesterday, when
all I've seen is Ray Lewis and the gay guy and the, like.
Well, both parents were on yesterday. They had their own press conference. I don't think that was.
Well, no, I know that, but that's because it was supposed to be the overwhelming story of the week. And I think it ended up Randy Moss saying he was the greatest ever and blah, blah, blah was a big story. The Ray Lewis thing is nonstop. The guy who was a homophobe in his head but not his heart.
Chris Culliver.
I forgot.
Chris Culliver.
His head hates gay people, but his heart is not feeling the same way. Is that what he's
Something
going
like
with?
That, yeah.
It's like that Car Trader commercial. His head and his heart, Paul, can't agree.
Right. So was it the little dude talking in his head who actually tweeted?
But the guy in his heart loves gay people, at least in the written statement that he sent out.
You know, Randy
Moss
causing some controversy, and Ed Reed just loving Bill Belichick.
Yeah, that's new. You know? We needed that.
Well, even Deshaun Golson.
Well, Ed Reed was a little jealous that Belichick had gone over the 1 million mark of, you know, overwhelming scrubbings of Ed Reed. So Ed Reed said, I got to get to a million, too.
And scrub back.
So, you know, including the one he just did, you know, less than a week earlier in this very building when he said that he loved Bill Belichick.
I like that, though. That's great. It's good stuff.
And Patriots news-wise, Gronk was just on the air.
Yeah.
From New Orleans, but on the air here in Boston, talking about his broken arm. And I think there are two big.
It has a cast on it.
Is it still broken?
A big news. No, two
he
big.
He now
news.
Has a cast on it.
He has a.
Well, it's a bigger.
No, well.
Well, not now. I mean, it has had a cast on it.
I guess I'm not.
He's being.
I was being sarcastic. But I guess I shouldn't be.
Paul was casting stones.
But the two biggest news items I took out of this interview were, one, how much he stressed that he's not going to rush his rehab the second time around, which to me
means he rushed it the first
time. Means he rushed
exactly.
it the first, or was forced to rush it
right.
the first time around. And secondly, that the second break was in a different spot than the first one.
Yeah, where the steel plate ended.
Which might explain why it's a bigger cast.
Which might explain why he needs to drink some damn milk.
No, but I mean that's one reason why people are saying, look how big the cast is. It's because it goes. But that could be a reason because it's in a different break. So it's
and the other one wasn't necessarily healed. So you
guys
cover.
I can hear you,
Paul. I can hear all three of you normal, but I can't hear myself, which is probably a good thing, Andy.
Lucky you. Wish I could do that.
You can't hear yourself at all.
No, it's like it's the mic's not on when I talk.
It is. Don't worry.
But that's the reports about the second break, and it was caused by the plate. You know, that's that was most of the report. What are you scoffing? That's what all these medical people say, that it's a very common thing.
Well, put a stress on another part of the arm.
Yes,
right.
And he confirmed that today.
It was caused by the fall.
Unbelievable.
Yes, but
you guys make fun of me for just saying black is white all the time, and after that, you know, that's just unbelievable.
But is it a concern? That would be my only question. Is it a concern?
I don't know.
Because obviously we know, in all likelihood, the steel isn't going to break. Although I believe Tyron Wheatley's broke, didn't it? But most likely the steel's not going to break. So when the force comes, it's going to dissipate and snap
when it
reaches a weak point.
Yep.
But are his arms weak? I mean, should we start to worry that he has weak bones or something? Or is it just because it increased the force on that area?
I would tend to go with the latter.
I wouldn't think so because he's played football for a long time. We don't know of any bone, you know.
Well, he had a back problem.
Yeah, but that's not a broken bone.
Right. It's not. He's taking big hits. It's not.
But that's my point. He had a back problem, which was unrelated, and he's taken a million hits that we've seen in the last 3 years.
Right. So you maybe would think that this would have cropped up.
I would agree.
Unless it's something new. You know, maybe he has osteoporosis.
Right.
Maybe
he's getting older
than we thought he is.
Benjamin Button or something. The other.
But he'll be back.
No, we know he'll be back, but what if he breaks his arm the first play back like he did this time?
He's not going to rush it this time.
Yeah, that is interesting. That's the most interesting part to me.
That was in his first.
He'll drink
all his beers with his other arm.
His and the reason I point that out, it's not like that was a throwaway line at the end of the interview. It was in his first answer to the first question about his arm, and he said, paraphrasing here, sort of, that I'm not going to rush. There's no need to rush the rehab this time.
Well, wait a minute. If you're paraphrasing now, I'm a little. What did he exactly say? What did he say?
For Christ's sake.
What did he say?
All right.
I don't want to go. This is important because I don't want to paraphrase.
He used the word rush and rushing in his first answer about the arm and rehab. Rushing and rehab.
He loves it when Stephen Ridley's rushing behind him.
Oh, my.
And when
let's not take it seriously.
Pass rush.
That's fine. It's the only big news item we have related to the Patriots today, so let's just joke about
it. Paul and Eric are just disgusted. They don't want to go on.
I think Eric might fight you.
I just want to know exactly
what
he said. I don't
care enough to be disgusted.
It is important, you know?
What is important?
What did he say?
Flutter about? Like, why are you giving Eric such a hard time?
I want to know, like, how he self-incriminated himself or incriminated
himself.
Or the Patriots.
I think all he said was he's not going to rush his rehab this time.
Yeah.
I don't understand what.
That implies he rushed it.
That's
last
exactly
time.
Right.
Okay, but like.
And that's
what's the tragedy? I mean, what are you trying to make a big deal
I
out of?
I
want to
know exactly what he said.
I'm sorry, Eric. I tried.
No, it's not your fault, Paul.
Can we get the quote? Can we get the quote?
Yes, I'm reading through my. I'm just.
So. I words are important, as we've all said.
You're just going to make him sound like you're going to use a semantic thing anyway and change the meaning.
No, I'm not.
Obviously, you're in one of those, you know, Paul-like moods today.
I want to know
you're
what
very
he
argumentative.
Said because, you know.
He said that now that the off season is here, I have a lot of time to heal. This is no time to rush it. It meaning his rehab.
Right.
Got to be 100% by the time camp starts.
Okay.
And then. Later on was asked about the Miami game, whether or not he had felt like he had come back too early.
Right.
Quote, I really wasn't that confident going in using one hand, unquote. Then a little bit later, but you got to be out there for your team. So I'm reading between the lines saying, I wasn't ready, but I had to do what I was told to do, which was get the hell out on the field because we need you. And he did it because he's a team player.
Well, just saying, I wasn't confident going out with one hand.
Right.
I mean,
but that's a departure from what he said immediately after that game.
Well,
when asked about the fact that his arm was dangling.
Yeah,
there.
I can understand why he would say that then.
You remember last Super Bowl, he said he wasn't having surgery,
but
and within a week he was under the
knife.
No,
but my point is, at the time of both of those things, right after the Super Bowl and right after the Miami game, he is in contact with members of the organization.
Oh, sure.
Specifically in letters that begin with P and R, that are telling him to say certain things.
I'm not so sure about that.
And when he's not around those people, he says other things.
Well,
yeah.
He's getting advice.
I'm not sure it's P&R.
I mean, the fact that he says, no, I wasn't confident going out with one hand means, to me, he wasn't ready.
Right.
Shouldn't have been out there.
Precisely.
We don't know the pressure to be out there. A, could be internal. B, could be team-related. C, could be coach-related. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of places or a combination of those that he could feel the pressure to be out
now,
there for.
Now, let me ask you a question. If you were a team doctor or team coach, head coach, you get a situation like that, it doesn't have to be Gronkowski. Anybody that has an injury that's, you know, questionable whether or not they can play to 100%, do you say to the player, look, here's the situation, this is what the doctors have said, we're going to leave it up. Do you leave it up to the player to decide whether or not they can play?
If you're the doctor?
So you're saying he's medically cleared.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of what the player can deal
with,
you know, from a pain.
Or do you take that burden off the player and say, we don't want you at 75%.
Well, I think it depends on the player.
Yeah.
The injury. I mean, if it's Gronk,
the injury's
you're more likely to try to get the guy back on the field sooner rather than later. If it's Derek Martin, you say, whatever, take whatever time you need to heal.
But to me, it's the injury's a bit. I mean, am I going to do more damage? Can I play through it? How much is it going to affect me? Is it,
right.
You know, is it 75% sprained ankle and I'm, you know, Drew Bledsoe, I'm not going to run, and or, you know, my front foot, million things.
Time of season.
You hear a lot about, you know, the medical event. Well, you know, by playing, there was no way he could do any more damage, so we thought it was okay.
Right.
Well, you know, that's my guess is that. And this is just speculation based on all of the bits and pieces of info that we've gotten over the last month or so. My guess is he wasn't ready physically. He didn't quite feel ready. And
He said as much.
But if I'm the doctor, if I'm the medical advisor, I tell him and I tell the coach the facts. And the facts, I'm guessing, are he's at a point medically where he's able to do certain things, and if you put him on the field, there's somewhat of a risk that he could do more damage. Like, for instance, the stress of the plate causing another. There's the potential for that. But at the moment, he's running, he's able to catch, he's able to do enough things that if you want to put him out there, that's up to you.
I don't understand how the doctor would clear him if he could only use one hand.
No, but that's what I'm saying. He cleared him to the point of saying, well, we see that you're able to catch and you're able to do some things. So it's up to you now if you want to risk doing it further. And the player who's scared of doing further damage is out there protecting his arm because he's afraid to use it.
Yeah, when he says, I only had one hand, that might be him. I wasn't comfortable.
I think he said the confidence.
Yeah.
He used the word confidence.
He said that's the mental aspect.
Quote, I really wasn't that confident going in using one hand.
Well, you know, because we saw that in the warm-ups. And at that point, if I was the doctor, I'd say, well, Rob, come here. Why aren't you using that? Is there pain? Why? What are you doing?
I'm sure he said, well, I don't feel ready. Psychologically, I'm not over it.
Then I got to turn to the coach and say, you know, this is probably not a good idea.
The player's mental state has a role in it.
Sure.
Yeah.
The coach is probably saying, well, we need you.
You know, getting back to Damian Tomlinson here.
And I don't know if I think I'd rather have Hooman or Fells out there with two arms than even Rob Gronkowski with one.
But they're saying to him,
I'd rather have Gronk.
And again, this is just speculation. I'm not putting words in anyone's mouth. But I'm guessing they're saying to him, look, can you catch? And he says, yeah, I can catch.
And he proved
that's
it.
All we need you to do.
He proved
Don't
it on
worry
the
about
play
blocking.
He got hurt on.
We'll just send you on routes. We need you out there as a decoy sometimes. Just do that for us, okay?
A week earlier, he got open and caught a touchdown.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he proved he could catch.
Right.
There was no question of that.
And he didn't hurt himself blocking. He hurt himself on a catch, diving and trying to break
nice
his fall.
Nice catch. I would say Hooman doesn't make that catch.
Yeah.
You know, your
very
thing,
few people
Hooman
make
out.
That catch.
So he proved he could catch. Unfortunately, at the end of it, it ended it.
Yeah.
So.
And I guess, you know, you have to look at it as a one-game season. You know, there's no tomorrow if we lose.
Sure.
And unlike you, Bill thought it was important for him to be out there.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I think the mistake.
I
think the mistake was the Miami game.
I do too.
I think that was, you know, and I thought it was crazy at the time. So it's not like I'm. Using
but did he do anything
hindsight.
In that?
No, they got away with it. Clearly, they got away with it.
So then, what did that mean?
Well, how do you know?
Well, that's what I'm asking. I don't know. But I don't know if he did something in that may have played a factor, and they may not. Yeah,
maybe he did
true.
Some things where
they
the play was causing strain on that
they
area.
They probably don't know, but it could have done damage. It didn't help. Let's put it that way.
Right. I agree
we know
with
it
that.
Didn't help.
I agree.
We don't know if it did more damage. that's, and we all were, Fred, I think even you were in agreement on that, that it didn't make any sense to watch him go out there and run around with an arm behind his back. It just didn't make any sense.
One other Gronk quote, if I could just throw this in for discussion, was asked, okay, you weren't feeling confident about Miami. How about Houston 2 weeks later? Quote, going into the playoff game, I felt ready, I felt confident, but then they pressed him on that issue again, and he said, I couldn't really tell you if it was healed or not.
Right. And he couldn't. I mean, that's the job of the doctor.
Yeah, right.
But I think what they were saying was, did you feel like you were healed? Did you feel yourself? And I think that was his diplomatic way of saying, no, I wasn't. Because as we saw in the warm-ups for the Houston game, he was.
He
wasn't using that arm.
Okay, so let's take this a step further.
I would have played him. If you want to ask me that, I would have played him.
But now we
got him. Houston,
you run the risk.
Him.
I mean, yeah.
He's worth it. He showed me he can catch. I need him. I think I need him to win even.
Well, there you go. There you go.
That's his job.
I would have played him against you.
That's his job. I'm sorry. Am I putting him at risk? Maybe. But that's his job. Football players play football. I put him at risk every time I put him out there.
That gets back to then the question of, when we were talking about, now they have at least more time to plan, because they've had games without him and it won't be as bad this time as last. But they felt that we need, even with one arm, we need this guy.
And I agree
out here.
With them.
It's that important that he's out here to give us a chance to win.
And they may have learned something.
What does that say about this offense, though?
Well, yeah, but that's a bigger picture thing. But, I mean, just on the Gronk level, I think they may have learned something about the injury.
About the injury,
Dr. Gill may have learned,
Right, because the initial report was, 4 to 6 weeks was the general consensus?
We heard as much as 8 weeks in some reports.
He broke it against Indy and then missed 5 games, came back for Miami. So let's say they held him out for Miami. That would have been 6. Bye week is 7. Houston is 8. That would have been right at the end of 8 weeks. That would have been at the very border of that general diagnosis of 8 weeks.
But I'm even going beyond that and saying, maybe he learned that when it's in this spot with this plate and this break, that the stress and whatever.
It's too much.
I think they may have learned something. I don't think there was necessarily medical negligence. I mean,
No.
Even though it's a science, it's an inexact science. They don't know how every body
Belichick never wants to be painted in the corners with these injuries because they're all different to a degree because everybody is different as a human being.
That's why I think
he isn't getting painted into anything.
I would be stunned if the medical team said, "Oh yeah, he's totally fine. There's no I have a hard time believing that they would say that. That's why I think they would couch it as
they give
he's
you a
good
risk
enough.
Level.
He's good enough, and there's a risk that this or that could happen. And then now it's up to you. It's out of my hands.
Right. So, and then that gets back to my question. Once the medical staff does that, is it up to the player?
Yes.
Is it left in the player's hands?
He can refuse to take the field. I'm not healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, not too many people.
But not too many players.
Because you want to play. This doctor told you could play. This coach is saying I need you to play.
And it's
a lot of.
It's a macho environment. Guys aren't going to, guys like him aren't going to say no. He comes from a family with all brothers. He's probably had that his whole life.
Absolutely.
Not even that. I mean, chubby Paul Perillo over here tore his Achilles and just, it hurts. I'm just going to go to work and I'm going to keep doing it and blah, blah, blah. You just do stuff. You live with pain.
Chubby shot in,
I really don't know.
Well, I didn't want to paint him as, you painted Gronk as a warrior who grew up in a household of men. Well, Paul is Paul and he walked around for a month on an Achilles.
Certainly no warrior.
No, but that's the point. Like,
right. Like, that's what we do as people.
I thought, you don't go to the hospital.
It hurts a little bit.
Right. I have an owie. Fine. You don't go to the hospital for that.
Right.
Little did I know I had ruptured my Achilles. But that's, the point
is. That's what
is, people do. I think most people would do what I did. They didn't want to be bothered with going to the hospital and find out what.
If I can walk, if I can limp through it, I'm fine.
It hurts. I'll live. It hurts. And
I think most of us have that in us. We just do it. It doesn't feel quite right, but whatever.
And I even, to take the stupid analogy a step further, I like playing. So when I had the surgery, I went back to playing in the same stupid league for nothing. Can you imagine how much more the pressure would be
to get
back in the game for
the NFL?
He barely
averages 2 points a week.
Yeah, I lost my 2-point average the last game by not scoring.
All right, Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. What else have we got Patriots-wise?
Ed Reed would love to play for Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Yeah, but then he had another update of that today, and he said it's, obviously anybody would play from him, but will I be in New England? That's unlikely. He kind of added to it.
He says that now because he's still a Raven.
Would I play for retreating on statements made over the last week?
Right. Would I play for Coach Belichick? Yes. What football player wouldn't? Will I be in New England? Most likely not. It's just terrible that people get half the story, but it comes with it. That was a tweet from, because
he's getting criticized from Baltimore.
That's right. That's
for
exactly
talking about
right.
playing for another.
That's
team.
Exactly
I see,
right.
I don't blame them. If I'm a Baltimore fan, I'd be pissed.
Exactly.
If I had any worry about where his mindset was on Sunday, right. I'd be pissed. I don't have that worry if I'm a
no,
Raven
but
fan.
I still wouldn't like it if I'm a fan.
You're a Raven right
don't
now.
Talk about playing.
Talk
for,
about that in March.
Right. I can understand a Raven fan being upset about that.
And on the other team, on the Niners, Deshaun Goldson was asked about the flirtation with New England. Couple of seasons ago when he was a free agent and ended up going back to San Francisco. He went back on a one-year, $2 million roughly deal, and I guess New England had offered him a one-year deal, but for less money, so he said it was an obvious choice. Went back for the more money, but said it was, you know, tempting. Yeah. Because he met with Bill, he liked Bill, got along with him, met some of the players.
I feel sorry for like the Arizona reporters. Was there ever, you know, an idea to go to Dave Wannstedt? No, I never wanted to go there.
Just an update on our previous discussion.
I know what he means.
Gronk was on the Dan Patrick Show now and asked
ex head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
You mean Ken Wisenhunt?
Oh, Wisenhunt.
I had no idea who you were talking about. I knew that's what he meant, but I let it go.
I think they're the same person, aren't they?
No.
Wisenhunt and
that's
Wannstedt?
Utterly disrespectful to Wisenhunt.
Yes, Wisenhunt had been to a Super Bowl.
And Wannstedt comes off as a bleeping moron.
No, but I think they are the same
who's
person.
Continuing to go downward in the coaching tree.
Yeah. He was asked if he returned too soon. No, I wouldn't say that. The doctors cleared me, just a freak accident.
Well, of course, he's never going to
That was on his second media appearance.
That's on the D. He's making the rounds today.
That's the one after he got the DP phone call. You know, that thing you said.
It was right after the EEI. Yeah,
right.
And he's going to be on the Sports Hub later, and he'll probably say, no, I was 100%.
Completely different.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Right.
It'll come all the way back to the Miami game.
Broken arm.
Right.
I didn't break my arm.
All right. So nothing else going on?
What do you want to be going on?
Well, you guys are.
There's this notion that this Patriot, that the Super Bowl is going on without the Patriots.
You guys are
Patriots
covering
news.
The team, so I figured I'd ask you guys.
Nothing going on,
nothing
with,
going
the
on
team.
With the team. That's
unless
the
you
problem.
Want us to talk about Gronk pimping a clothesline.
Well, the Chandler
not a
Jones,
clothesline, a line of clothes.
Definitely not going to have
like
ankle
a week
surgery.
And a half ago in the locker room about that.
Oh, but what, we it's mentioned that on
really,
Tuesday.
Yeah.
He reportedly did not need the surgery.
He's going to be down now. He's saying he's going to be training
MMA
with his brother.
Bones. Yep.
Which he had said
thank you, Eric.
Last week, too.
Yeah.
So Wes Welker is going to be a free agent. There is some question as to whether he'll be back, whether he'll be franchised. If you want to just start rehashing
Keep
every
Tlaib
story.
Also pending free agent, as is Sebastian Vollmer.
Patriots may have to choose which player to use their franchise tag on. They
Interesting
to,
question. I'll throw it out there for the fans, see if we can get some feedback, Andy Hart.
Yes.
Three very worthy candidates, I should say, for the franchise tag. Which of those three, if any, you could choose none, but which of those three would you use the franchise tag on?
Good question.
508-298-0398 here in the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Do you want to answer it, Fred? Tag sign cut?
That's what I wanted to do. Instead of hate Mary, you know.
Tag sign release.
Yeah.
Tag sign let go.
Let go.
Tag sign let go.
Okay.
Okay, I'll tag Tlaib, sign Welker, let Vollmer go. Fred is speechless.
I will tag Welker, sign
tag
Vollmer,
Welker.
Let Tlaib go.
Okay.
Yeah. You say tag Vollmer?
Tag Welker, sign Vollmer, let Tlaib go.
I'm tagging Vollmer, signing Welker, letting Tlaib go. So I'm a little bit of a change from
Eric. Okay.
So we have three different answers. What do you got? What say you?
I think that...
This is dead air.
Yeah.
I'm tagging Vollmer, by the way, because I'm giving him another year to see if he can play without having to commit to him.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
a little
just not,
concerned.
I'm never going to commit to him, so I might as well move on.
So you're just going to let him go now? Yeah, I'm not as in love with Tlaib as most.
I'm not either. I think he had like a disappointing production, but
yeah, I would.
He has value.
I would release Tlaib, and I would tag Welker.
Okay.
And sign Vollmer.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to commit to that back?
Well, I'm factoring that into my negotiation.
Because
well,
I'm kind
just
of,
so you
oh,
know,
well.
You don't get to sign him to what you want. You have
he
to sign him to what
has to change
he's going
it.
To get.
Well, yeah. I don't think that his value on the open market
is going to be huge. I think if he gets in the open market, there's no way the Patriots retain him.
With that injury record?
He's going to get signed by the Arizona Cardinals, the Chicago Bears, maybe the Pittsburgh. There's teams that tackles. Yeah. He's gone.
But they're not going to give him the high price that he thinks he.
You're out of your mind.
Not with that injury
After
record.
After he just played 15 games?
Not with that injury record.
You're gone. Out of your mind.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Yeah.
You're not getting him for a bargain basement deal.
Well, I don't know bargain basement, but.
Well, you just said you're going to sign him at your rate.
The bonus is $12 million and up. I'd be stunned if it's anything less than $12 million. Guaranteed money. You willing to do that?
Over how many years?
I don't know.
Four years, maybe. Yeah.
5 years, $45 million, $12 million guaranteed.
You know, if I can spread that guarantee over 4 years, I'd probably do that.
What's the franchise number for?
I'll look it up,
Paul.
I don't know yet.
For a right? Do they?
No, they don't do right tackle or guard or center. It's offensive line.
Offensive line.
Oh, okay. Well, that brings it down then.
No, it brings.
No, it
up.
Doesn't. The guards have brought it in line. The guard's been making nonstop $55 million for about 4 years.
Yeah, but
franchise tackles make a lot of money, and that's what you're basing the number on.
I thought you said it's
the lowest rate center.
I thought you said it's the whole line they base it on.
It is.
The top five average, top five salaries at that position.
Oh, okay. So
that's
even if they're all tackles,
it's
based on the tackles?
And I'm sure that, well, and Andy's right.
Yeah, I don't think they're all tackles.
One of these
now.
Mega guards might have thrown the number even higher.
I think Logan Mankins might be in there.
Yeah.
But franchise tackles make a lot of money.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And that's going to go up this year with Jake Long and is there another one? Joe Staley or one of them?
I don't think he's free, is he? Joe Staley?
I'll tell you right now. And I believe he is, Paul.
Jake Long definitely is. And Miami already reports out of Miami that they're not going to retain him. Joe Staley going to get franchised as a fullback, Andy? Tight end?
Wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
No, Joe Staley is not.
Yeah, I didn't think he was.
Why are you looking at would you?
I think it. I haven't found this year, but I believe last year was $9.383 million.
So you're basically talking very similar numbers. It's 11.4, 10.6, I think, for Tlaib, and you're coming up on 10 for a tackle, unless that number goes down.
Yeah, but. Between $9 and $11 million, you're probably talking between the
positions.
So it's not
that much of a difference. So it's
money.
Three legit candidates, I think, for franchise tag.
So let me ask you a question, and this is another topic. I know that's crazy and it's a hypothetical, but to gauge your value on Tom Brady, if the Jets said, we'll give you Darrelle Revis and two first-round picks for Tom Brady straight up, would you do it?
Would I do it as the Patriots?
Yeah.
Yes. I don't think the Jets would do it.
Yeah, but you think Brady stinks. I don't know if you should.
You think the Jets would give Revis and two first-round picks for Brady?
No.
They're 35 years old? I don't.
No. Meaning Mallett would be my quarterback?
You'd have to go find somebody, yeah.
Throw in Tebow and we got a deal.
That's
what Josh McDaniels would
that'd
say.
That'd be really hard to pass up.
As a Patriot.
Yeah.
Bill goes behind.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because you know you have to start building for the future eventually, and... What better way to do it than with two first-round picks and a corner who can...
And I say two because just one first round, you know you're not going to get a good quarterback this year probably, but at least you could hope for next year I might have a chance at one.
I wouldn't have the balls to make the deal.
I would
be
tempted.
It's not something
that I would want to do.
I wouldn't have the balls.
Before you start telling people what I'm actually saying
Well, you
about
think
Tom Brady
stinks, so if,
right.
you know,
it's not
Arizona said we'll trade you Brian Hoyer for Brady, you'd be like,
woohoo! It's not something I would want to do, but it's something I feel like you can't pass that up. That's immense value for a
35-year-old
player.
Now, would you do it contract free from the Revis front without having reached a deal with him?
Yeah, I mean, I'd need to be able to talk about that. That's part of the Corey Dillon sit-down. I'd need to have some kind of talk. I'd have to have some kind of idea. I know he has put out there that he's looking for a Mario Williams-type contract.
$100 million.
If that's what it is, we're going to need to come down from that a little bit. Because, you know, he's not that young anymore either, and he's coming off a torn ACL.
Injuries, yeah.
As much respect as I have for him as a player.
Doesn't everybody have a torn ACL in their past at some point in time? Seems that way. Both guys in this trade would.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
But one needs it more than the other.
Both
need it.
All right, 508-290. I just thought I'd throw that in. I was thinking about that the other day.
I think the price – I mean, Hector Longo brought up a specific, you know, it's time to trade him. Paul is in that camp.
Oh,
you have to
no,
say
– Paul is not in
that
camp.
What would you consider? What would be enough in terms of picks or players?
Right.
You know – I joked with you because St. Louis has the extra picks because of the RG3 trade. Would you do a deal with them that included Bradford and a couple first-round picks?
Yeah, and I said no to that.
And I would.
Because you think Bradford can play.
I'm going down with that ship. But, and, you know, McDaniels has the history. He worked with him for a year. Maybe that would make it more palatable. You'd have some experience with the quarterback.
But that's based on, and you know, not being funny, that is based on the fact that you think Bradford has a future as a, you know.
I think he can play.
Yeah.
I don't know what the level is. I'm not saying I would be replacing
my guy. If you're saying Bradford in two ones,
I
would do that too.
And that would at least, at the very least, he's my bridge.
He's
my three-year bridge to the guy. I think he's better than Ryan Mallett.
If I'm Bill Belichick, I can win enough with Sam Bradford.
Okay.
What if it's just two ones
for Tom Brady?
No.
Mm, no.
I definitely don't have the balls to do that.
Okay.
That's not something I want to do.
I mean, you have to be really confident to make that deal. You have to say this is, no questions asked, the right deal for the team because the backlash and everything.
If one of those ones was in a year where you had an Andrew Luck and you were like the Colts and completely sure, that would be part of it. I would say, all right, maybe I'll do it.
Yeah, then
it
you're also all in. Now
you're really trading it for Andrew Luck.
But if I felt better about Ryan Mallett, now I have to know, I know what I feel about Ryan Mallett from watching training camp for 2 years. If I felt better about Mallett and his ability to step in, then I would do it for two ones. I think that's enough for Brady, but not enough for Brady without any option to play quarterback. And I don't think they have
an existing option.
Let me ask you a question, Fred, since you're the expert in this area. Is that his decision to make, or does the owner step in?
I think the owner has to step in. This is, you're talking about the long-term.
If Bill came and said the Cardinals
model,
have offered, I've agreed to this trade. It's Sam Bradford in 2-1.
I think the owner has to bless that.
Well, I know he has to bless it, but I mean,
and he can nix it.
But the owner has to bless it.
Everything.
Right, that's true.
But I'm saying,
he cares about more than others.
Would you have to, would you have to, is it even a possibility? Does Bill have the rope right now to trade Brady? Right now?
I think with the right deal, yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think he could be talked into it for the right deal.
I think so too.
It would have to be a really sweet
deal. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's got to be one of those deals you can't refuse.
Imagine that.
That would be an earthquake.
Adam Schefter is reporting.
Yeah.
Imagine that if you're sitting at home and all of a sudden
I don't want to think about it cuz I don't want to lose Tom Brady. He's the best quarterback and I don't want to go with anyone else. So
what are you, Bill?
As long as it's not a playoff game.
Maybe that would be the time they allow us to break some news.
He's just
no chance.
That was on purpose.
Well, as long as it's not every other playoff game.
Right, right. He's good in the divisional round, you know, against 7-9 teams.
All right. Christian's on the line. Chris with a TIN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up? How you doing?
Okay, I'd sign Paul, I'd franchise tag Eric, and I'd release Andy.
Yes!
Wow, okay. I'm releasing your mother every
best
night.
Best call.
Oh. Wow.
Two shows in a row, the best call right here.
You should have said I'm tagging.
Yeah, I already tagged your mother.
Oh, okay.
Too late.
Yeah, too late.
You're right, it is too late. I was tagging her last night.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Well, you guys ready for the Super Bowl or what?
Sure.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I know. I'm with Eric.
I'm starting to gain a little momentum. Yeah, I'm starting as we get closer.
I just hope it's a good game. There's some intrigue.
There's some defense.
Keep the string of good games.
You got a couple. The problem is you have two quarterbacks that I know everybody want to write that like their story. I think either could lay an egg. Yeah. Like there's part of me that feels like either guy could just poop himself.
I'm thinking of the food I want my wife to make.
I'm thinking Baltimore is going to give San Francisco a better game than I think a lot of people are saying.
I think they're going to win.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
See who you're aligned with, Christian? Eric.
I'm the only guy who picked
the Broncos to win.
To
beat the Broncos.
And the Texans and every other wrong pick.
I picked
the Bucks to win the Super Bowl 2002.
He's a little like you
too.
In that regard. He just, you know, falls back on the one that he got right.
It was a tough one.
Well, I mean, you had a lot of ones wrong.
I know.
Everybody
if
said
you
they
keep
were
picking that, you're eventually going to be right. Come on.
What do you mean keep picking them?
You know.
All right, guys, let Christian talk. He's only got 30 seconds left.
Yeah, 30 seconds, I know. I was curious to get your thoughts on this whole thing with Ray Lewis and the deer antlers and the supplement thing stuff. And in conjunction with concussion and concussions and all these issues that are facing this sport. And it's been thrown around this week by various people in the media, most notably Felger that I've listened to, that said ultimately this sport's going to have to come down to guys are going to have to sign a waiver. And do you guys see that as a practical, sort of step into into, you know, the NFL trying to get its hands around this type of stuff?
Or no.
Okay.
I don't think it means anything. Because I think even if guys sign waiver, if the league does something that is totally underhanded, egregious,
yeah,
the waiver won't be worth anything.
I think in respect, they do sign, basically, yeah, by being part of the CBA, they do sign a waiver now, that knowing that I can be injured in this sport and I can't sue the league. But like Andy said, if someone knowingly does something wrong, no waiver covers that.
And that's where these lawsuits stemming from. Not right. all of them. You know, right. I think there's been some kind of snowball effect, money grab. But the basis was that the NFL knew this concussion information at this date, whatever it was.
Right.
And, you know, they didn't act upon it. In fact, they tried to bury it with the Jets doctor and the head of their concussion
negligence.
Committee. And
that, yeah.
Yes. If you're negligent, the waiver is somewhat irrelevant. You know, and we've been told that by lawyers, that waivers aren't worth the paper they are written on in certain situations.
Right.
So, if you can prove negligence.
Right. So, right. Yeah, I mean, it may go that way and it may make people feel better, or it may be a great PR move or whatever, but.
Yeah.
In the end, like Ed Reed said, you may not have signed up for it, but Junior Seau signed up for what he got.
I mean,
he knew what he was signing up for.
We have that punt, pass, and kick thing, and all the kids that do it have to sign waivers. But if there's pointy sticks
right
where they're doing it, that waiver doesn't cover it, you know?
Right. That exactly right.
Pointy sticks.
Fred's going to get the kids impaled.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Punt, pass, and impale.
Okay, see you, Christian. Tell your mom I said hello.
Oh, see now. Jared writes in, he says, I'm a recently acquired listener, love the show.
That's good, because we're an acquired taste.
Yeah, you can say that again. As for the debate involving Tom Brady, I almost can't believe it. He never won a Super Bowl by a butt double digit margin, but for so long he was heralded as divine. Now he doesn't have a defense that affords him leeway or even the opportunity, and we're questioning his ability. He's the same guy, he just needs help.
I'm not questioning his ability at all. He's 35, and at some point in the next couple of years, he's not going to be the Patriots quarterback. And if I can get two first-round picks and an all-pro for him, I'm going to look long and hard at that deal.
Ray Lewis, he says, he's a criminal. Nice guy, I'm sure, and great football player, but no debate, he's a criminal. Somehow, when players put on a Raven uniform, they get dirty. Look at the Jones brothers. Chandler looks like a great young player, pristine, has a bright future. Arthur looks overweight, satisfactory at best, and probably does drugs and hits people.
That's awesome.
As for the Patriots, they changed philosophy once in 07, acquired big-name free agent trades, etc., had a win-now goal, lost sight of the future, did great that year, but took a while to get back to the AFC Championship game. So I think they need to be reasonable, continue to build the defense, of course, and build more depth. I wonder what the price would be for a Jarius Bird. I think McCourty is an awesome safety. Give him a year at that position. Huge difference. And I would like the Patriots to sign Tlaib and Sean Smith. That would sure go a long way. They already have their starter of the future in Dennard. The kid is a Hall of Famer. Watch out. Okay.
Dennard's a Hall of Famer?
That's what he says.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get Smith and Tlaib. I mean, Tlaib is generally considered the top free agent cornerback.
And Smith is going to cost you money, too,
right,
on the open market.
But he's also going to be
he's worth.
The fallback. You know, teams that want Tlaib. You know, we see that happen a lot where the top guy goes and then there's kind of a scramble to get two and three or whatever, so you get something to fill the big hole.
Right.
So if Tlaib goes off the market, yeah, I don't see them being able to sign multiple talented corners.
A little Gronk update for you. Apparently there was a little kid selling lemonade at the Super Bowl on Radio Row, and he went up to Gronk and asked him if he'd like to buy one, and Gronk did, gave him a $100 bill.
Nice.
Whoa! Making it rain on Radio Row.
Course, up in here.
Of course, he drew it in crayon, the bill. He made it himself.
Now, what is this kid? This kid must be attached to something.
Yeah, because you don't just get in Radio Row.
No, you don't.
Right. You've got to be credentialed.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's
everybody's
cool.
Hucking something.
Everybody's
it's
got a gimmick.
It's unbelievable.
You got to have a gimmick.
It's like a, you know, one of those country bazaars where everybody pulls it. Flea market.
It's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
On some level. I don't really.
Yeah. But it is a spectacle.
More Patriots news just flowing out of the Super Bowl.
Rob
Gronk making it rain.
Eating lemonades. Uh-oh, Gronkowski allergic to lemonade.
Jonathan writes, and last week when you hijacked the Playbook JR broadcaster, you asked the question, what is our biggest offseason need? Andy and Paul both said we need another defensive end. So my question to them, in hindsight, should have we have drafted Whitney Mercilus instead of Hightower and had Ninkovich play linebacker. On the same subject, if we draft another defensive end this year, who in the front seven comes off the field? That's one part of his question. Should we, in hindsight, have drafted Whitney Mercilus instead of Hightower?
I'm not necessarily willing to say that.
Yeah, I'm not. I was very high on Mercilus. Yeah. I liked him. But...
And I didn't love what I saw from Hightower. He was kind of meh this year. But
Mercilus,
I'm not ready to say no.
I mean, he didn't set the world on fire in year one. I mean, I know he was a little bit of a disappointment for them and had some opportunities with the injuries they had on the outside with Brooks Reed and those kinds of guys. No, I like the intrigue of what Hightower might bring. I'm a little bit higher on what he did as a rookie than Andy is. I am disappointed because my expectations were clearly not realistic. I was a little bit too high. I had the bar set a little too high.
Oh,
I did
some
of the things that I thought he could do.
Thought he was going to be a defensive player of the year. I mean, rookie of the year, not player of the year.
But I thought that he had a more productive season than Andy thought he did. I'm not looking to make that swap.
Let's clarify, Paul. High on Hightower, low on Brady.
To answer the question, I mean, if you had like Julius Peppers, to use our
yes,
free
please.
Agent, who's not a free agent, but we're going to just put him on the Patriots, because everybody else does it. Everybody does it with Larry Fitzgerald every time.
Yeah.
Andy wants Julius Peppers. So do I. Chandler Jones becomes a part-time player. Or Rob Ninkovich becomes more of a linebacker. There's a lot of different things you can do.
Yeah, I'm not worried about her.
I'm
not worried about who's going to lose some playing time.
I'm not worried about upgrading my talent. I can do that.
How about OCU Manura? Are you high on him or low on him?
I'm not as high on him.
I'd like him.
I think he's been very, very inconsistent in the last several years.
He has been.
He's been whining about money a lot.
Well, yeah, and I think that gets into guy. I mean, they have issues there in that the alpha dog, which, you know, and he was not. He kind of got bumped down. But, I mean, it was only 2 years ago, no, 3 years ago, that he had that monster season with, like, 11 forced fumbles. Every time he got near a quarterback, he knocked the ball free. And I think maybe because of what Paul said, he's not going to cost you X million now. You're going to get a Patriot-type contract potentially out of it for a veteran rotational pass rush guy.
As for the wide receiver debate, I agree with Fred. We need another wide receiver, not a superstar, just a guy who can stay on his feet while catching the ball. Currently, none of our wide receivers could catch a 15-yard pass on our side of the field and take it all the way. Vereen doesn't count. I'd like to see a young receiver who has the speed to extend plays, take a 15-yard catch, and stretch it to 40. I look at other teams, and they don't have that Randy Moss-type guy, but most have guys who don't look to get on the ground after every catch, like Deion Branch and Brandon Lloyd. In my opinion, we have four key free agents, Vollmer, Welker, Tlaib, and Edelman, in $18 million of so-called cap space. How would you divide up this money against those four? What percentage do you put next to each one coming back? I'm assuming we don't have enough cap room to keep all of them. If we lose Vollmer, does that force us to draft another offensive tackle, or do you think we could get by with Cannon or a free agent?
Free agent, yeah.
And if we lost Tlaib, another team in free agency, would he count toward a possible compensatory pick? Well, you don't get that till the next year, but he could
if you lost him.
Yeah. Also, in the last five postseason losses where the offense did not perform, Randy Moss was part of two of those teams. Personally, I'd like to see our team with a healthy Gronk in the postseason.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen that yet.
You have, and you made it to a Super Bowl
right
before the bottom fell out because you didn't have a healthy Gronk.
Right. But all the way through, you'd love to see what would have happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if we're going to criticize Moss, then Gronk has been healthy for a couple of playoff games that they haven't been overly productive in, like the Jets game in 2010 and the Ravens game in 2011. He got hurt reasonably late in the Ravens game, didn't he?
Did. Well, he got hurt, then he came back.
No, but he got hurt initially. It was the second half, right?
When Pollard tackled him?
Yeah, I believe
pretty
that
sure
was
that
the
was
second half.
Pretty sure that was in the second half. Yeah.
Definitely the second
so
half.
So they would already establish that it was a lower scoring game at that time. Not saying that him being 100% wouldn't have helped them the rest of the game, but if we're going to criticize Moss for, you know, not, you know, had two of those years.
Moss this, Moss that.
The offense in general has had its pieces and not always performed in the playoffs. Let's put it that way.
Simon, and that's the other thing. You know, when you get it to the playoffs, we've said this, you know, so many times, you play the better defensive teams. And the Patriots aren't the only team that can take away things from another team's offense. Other teams can do that to the Patriots, too.
Well, there's a lot of people that believe that the Patriots got beat by being Patriots. that these officials decided they were going to not call the game all that close. And I didn't see it, but I heard a lot of people talking about, I think Mangini did the breakdown, that, you know, 7 yards, 6 yards, 8 yards, guys are getting bumped. And in the regular season, that's a cheap penalty that gets right. you a cheap first down. This was not being called, and it's no different than what the Patriots used to do to the Colts. Mm. If you're going to let us play that way, and Bill's probably pissed because he probably, you know, if we're going to go with all these philosophical changes that he went through, thought that it was going to be called one way, and I've changed, and now they're letting you play the way I wanted to play in the first place.
Yeah. But that's the thing where I think he's smart enough to go in anticipating playoffs. They might call a little differently, and once we figure out that, we got to adjust. And
well, there's Gronk now on TV.
He's really everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's in London.
And they are coming fast and furious because we're getting like a different show every couple minutes.
He has a cast on.
I just saw a double-decker bus go by behind him.
There is a double-decker bus. You're right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they make the rounds. They go through. They certainly go through the car wash when they're down there.
What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Offense, the other part I
adjusting
want
adjusting
to the style of play.
That gets back to our playmaker thing. If you believe you have guys that can beat certain things, and I don't believe this team has them with that guy watching from the owner's box rather than on the field. I think Wes Welker, it's all fine and dandy. If they're going to allow him to get beat the out of, I almost said a bad word, then there's not much he can do. He is who he is. He's not going to beat certain things. Just like Brandon Lloyd isn't going to beat certain things. Wes Welker can't do that.
Right.
And Hernandez is kind of going in that direction.
Yeah.
Just because you know something's coming doesn't mean you're capable of beating it. That's where we get back to our playmakers thing.
The playmakers thing is definitely
you need a playmaker.
Legitimate. And I think Gronk is the sole one. I think he's the sole playmaker. They have really, you know, big plays at any time. That kind of guy.
Against
a game
anyone.
Changer.
Against, you know, I don't care if you have a safety on me. I can beat a safety. I can beat a linebacker. I can beat a corner. I'm big. I'm bad. I'm Gronk.
But the other part of it is, and Fred, you talked about other teams can take things away. The Patriots aren't the only ones that can take things away, and you're right. And it seems like some of the other teams that have really good offenses have found a way to keep winning in the playoffs while not living up to their regular season standards. The numbers go down, but they still find a way to win. Green Bay a couple of years ago scored, you know, 35-plus points a game, but a couple of times in the playoffs they were held down to, I think they beat Philadelphia in one of those games, 21-16. You know, that kind of a game, it seems like the Patriots have been in trouble in. And, you know, it's not 13. I mean, listen, no one's going to win too many games with 13 points. But if the Patriots didn't give up 28, can we all agree the Patriots would have scored more than 13? They could have kicked field goals on a couple of those trips in the red zone that they went for. You know, stuff like that. Now, maybe they wouldn't have gotten to the red zone if they didn't have a 15-point deficit they were chasing. I don't know. Maybe that could change the whole thing, too. Andy's butterfly effect. But other teams seem to get held down a little bit offensively and still find a way to win. The Patriots really haven't found that way to win one of those postseason games.
Because they don't have playmakers. Anywhere.
On both sides of the
ball. Anywhere. On all three sides of the ball, I will say. You didn't have a kick return, and your punt return was good, but not great. Not, you know, Troy Brown giving you a boost where, okay, we don't have too many offensive touchdowns, but we're going to get a defensive score, a special team, whatever. They don't have enough playmakers. Playmakers wanted.
It's one-third of the game.
Well, I'm saying playmakers is a three-thirds of the game.
Yeah, I'm saying special teams, one-third of the game.
Three-thirds?
Yeah, you know, a whole.
The whole game?
Three-thirds.
Simon and Molly is in the UK. Why no love for Randy coming back? I heard you all laugh and dismiss it like you are in the know. Seriously,
definitely not in the know.
Would you have rather had Lloyd or Randy this year? Branch or Randy? Stallworth or Randy? Good question. Who would you have rather had this year? Brandon Lloyd or Randy Moss?
Brandon Lloyd.
And you know what I think of Lloyd.
And you know what? I agree. As much as I get on Brandon Lloyd's case, I think if you had Randy Moss, he would have had, what, 20 catches?
Yeah, how much did Moss do for the Niners?
28 catches for about 400 and something yards and 4 touchdowns.
And his biggest play of the year practically came against us.
So, in fairness, I said,
we can't cover anyone.
But I said Brandon Lloyd, he probably made as many plays as Brandon Lloyd did.
Yeah, similar.
Just, you know, in fairness.
But to be fair, Brandon Lloyd would have had more plays had he played us.
And who were the other options?
Branch or Randy?
I'd rather have Randy than
And how about Stallworth or Randy? I'd rather have Randy than
Randy.
Stallworth.
I'll take Branch and Lloyd.
Yeah. Last year's team would have been so much better with him on it, and at $2 million, so would next year's. Give him a 2-year deal, draft a young fast receiver, and let him coach him up. As your fourth or fifth option, he's better than anything we've had.
He doesn't want to be that. He said it this week. Sure, he's not happy with his role.
He's not a coach.
And sure, he's the best ever. He's right about stats and impact. People just like to run him down. How often have people said he takes a corner with a safety over the top every play and that he's a decoy? So he won't have Rice's numbers, and Rice played with no cap error with two Hall of Famers. Get real. Ask the best corners who they would prefer to man up with on an island. I bet no one would choose Randy.
Half a Hall of Famer. Doesn't really deserve to.
Jerry Rice is pretty good now.
Do we have to argue that Jerry Rice was good?
Apparently.
Are we going to engage in that? He was only good because he played with two Hall of Famers?
1.5.
And what does the cap have to do with your talent?
I don't know, Paul.
Well, he said he played,
and it also,
no cap.
I mean,
what does that have to do
with
your talent?
If you believe that the best wide receiver should be the guy who can run down the field and outjump three corners for a touchdown, then yes, Randy Moss was the best receiver that ever played. But if you're taking the full body of work at the position, then I think Jerry Rice was the best that ever played. And I don't even think it's close, personally.
Well, statistically,
the numbers would agree with you.
Because Jerry Rice was great for a long, long time. I mean, he had a 1,000-yard season at 40.
Statistically,
and I don't remember him
ever
taking plays off.
Or being accused of it. Only when he broke his kneecap or tore his ACL.
Not even then. He came back quicker than anybody ever had.
And that's not to say Jerry Rice was a great guy, because I think he's kind of a DB.
Oh, yeah. I
we're not talking about that. We're talking
about downfield. I'm just saying. Like, I don't want people to think we hate Moss and he wasn't a nice man, so we don't like. I think Rice is kind of a DB, too.
Yeah, I think it's blasphemous, but I think Jerry Rice, there's a big time element of overratedness to his entire game. But
yeah, I think he's pretty good.
You can't argue with his numbers and say he wasn't. That email is absurd.
Well,
to say he was strictly a product.
Is Rice the greatest wide receiver ever?
Yes.
A lot of people say there's no debate.
Right.
Yeah. No, I don't think there is.
Yeah.
But I think. You know, that's why I said it's kind of silly to make the con. I think he's overrated, but I do think he's the best ever.
It would have been interesting, though, to see if two things.
That's kind of hard to do, be overrated and still be the best ever.
Yeah. Well, I think that a lot of people laughed at Randy Moss this week. I don't think it was a laughable statement that he made.
I don't think he's that far behind.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think people think more of Rice than
–
there's more of a gap between Rice and Moss.
Why do they think less of Moss than they should?
And there's an argument
to be
made
because
for
– Jerry Rice is, like, thought of to be this –
If Moss wasn't the what do they call it when you sabotage your own life?
Self-destruct?
I guess. And had a good quarterback the whole time, I think it wouldn't be even close to laughable, the numbers he would have put
up. That was going to be my point. Was like, let's assume he was drafted by the Patriots and ended up with Tom Brady and wasn't a guy who took plays off.
Right.
He could have been better than Rice, numbers-wise.
I think a Bill – Randy – Jerry Rice was a workout freak. That guy kept himself in impeccable shape, worked really hard at his craft. There's no denying
everybody
it.
Everybody says that about Moss.
So does Moss,
yeah.
Supposedly.
Well, really?
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's the M.O. It's just jumping in and out of garbage cans.
It's during games that he takes plays off.
Yeah. The irony of it. When everybody else says this is the time to shine,
he says,
he stops working.
When things don't go his way, he pops.
And that's part of why he's not great.
Not as great as Rice.
Exactly.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, because Jerry Rice had John Taylor, who was no slouch either.
Oh, he was good.
They shared the ball a little bit, and I never heard Rice pouting that.
Oh, he did.
Did he?
Absolutely did. He's resentful. He's resentful that John Taylor caught the game-winning touchdown pass against the Bengals in the Super Bowl. That's fact.
Really?
Yes. All Andy's right. point about Jerry
They're
Rice
both DBs.
Is
he's
a thousand
a diva.
Times accurate.
I don't remember ever hearing that, I stand corrected.
This is part of my overrated, and not for you,
there's
but I'd say, I think
that.
There's a little bit of, we overlooked the, because Jerry Rice was just so great. Everybody overlooks those little things.
Was that at the time?
He was a pain. Ask Steve Mariucci sometime.
At,
some of the
really?
About
at the time, like at the time of the catch?
If we were on radio, we'd just insult everybody.
Somebody would walk by, check!
Yeah, that guy. That reminds me of another story.
Steve Tasker, douchebag.
Alex,
here, by the way, he was on with Felger and Mass.
I heard
Steve
a little
Tasker,
bit of that,
and
they
were
took
just
him to
sitting
Tasker?
There, and he picked up a Sharpie off the table
and stirred it.
And stirred his coffee with it.
So bleeping gross.
And then put the Sharpie back down.
Talk about germs.
Yeah, they are like it's...
Radio row, it's like a...
Cap on
what
or
do you
off.
Call it? A Petri dish.
Yeah.
Gets a little extra
with the cap
kick
on?
Out of it.
Or off. I mean, not that it matters much, but I'm just curious.
I'm guessing with the cap on, but
and they were like later. Well, I don't think he knew we were on TV.
I wouldn't make that assumption, Paul. If a guy's willing to put a Sharpie in his coffee, that's
it's
idiotic.
Alex from Philly says,
it's
"I agree."
A fair point by you.
Alex from Philly says, "I agree with Paul. Brady stinks." Paul has convinced me that he's clearly on the decline and his skills are slowly diminishing. I think it's time to realize that we have gone as far as we can go with Brady, and all we have to look forward to for the next 3 to 4 years is 12 to 13 wins, divisional titles, a 1 or 2 seed, and lose to a more physical team who has playmakers. But hey, at least we're not Oakland, right? Did I get Paul and Fred going yet? If you haven't...
You almost got Fred. I don't know exactly why, but Fred just paused. He paused like he wanted to yell at you.
Yeah, but you all his things that he just said, 12 to 13 win, divisional titles, 1 or 2 seed, and then you lose to a more physical team?
Yeah.
Is that Brady's fault, if that's the case? If you're losing to a more physical team?
No, it's not all Brady's fault.
Yeah.
It's also a disappointing
Sunday
end to the season. I don't want that.
Paul still's all in. It was all Brady's fault.
Right. I didn't say it was all Brady's fault. I said he was number one on the list.
That's because somebody else in the media said it wasn't.
Welker,
he's number one on the list.
Not a problem.
First of
Hernandez,
all,
not a problem.
Just so you
Lloyd,
know,
not a problem.
Nobody else in the media said it was his fault.
I thought one of our friends did. That's this whole came
Nobody
from.
In the media thought it was his fault.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I stand
that's
alone.
Why Paul's saying it, because he's a contrarian.
Right.
He's gone
with the exception.
He's now majoring in the Michael Felger School of Sports
Journalism. I was just going to say, the only ones that sort of sided with that was Felger and Mass.
Right. You'll get more airtime if you disagree with
them. The rest of them are afraid.
Because they don't need a third person agreeing
with them.
And
Andy agrees with me, too. When you're the number one paid guy and you're relied upon,
he's part of the problem.
He's topped on the list. The team did not play well. They didn't play well in any phase of the game. All of Andy's playmaker points are 100% accurate. He is the top playmaker on your team, especially with Gronkowski out, and he didn't do it.
But he can't do it alone.
If you hadn't guessed, I was just being sarcastic.
He's not as great as I thought.
However, I want to disagree.
That's one of those that cuts deep. I mean, maybe he's just not as good as I thought he was.
I want to disagree with Andy when he was saying we shouldn't re-sign Tlaib. We need starting caliber corners on this team, and if Tlaib is the best option out there, then we should keep him. If that means we have to give him Brandon Carr money, then give him the money. Tlaib may not be Revis, but he's a hell of a lot better than anyone else we've had. And if we lose him, it's back to square one in the secondary. We're not going to draft anyone better than Tlaib, so why make the secondary worse by letting him walk?
Yeah, A, how do you know that? And B, I think it's grossly overrated how good the secondary was with Tlaib in it.
Yeah.
I mean, when did they dominate? Show me the game where they dominated, just shut people down. He was very competitive against Andre Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice luxury to have a guy that
can
run. And then hurt himself. But, you know, competitive.
So basically your argument is without him, they're not that much worse.
Well, everybody wanted to say the numbers just speak for themselves.
Well, with him, they weren't that much better.
Yeah.
So without him, they can't be much worse. And you might get a guy in the draft. I know they've had their bad luck with second round corners, but maybe they take one in the first round.
But even like everybody likes to argue the numbers are inarguable.
Or the third.
That they got better with Tlaib. Well, I think you're including the numbers like when they had a shutout in the finale, and if I'm not mistaken, that wasn't Tlaib. If I'm not mistaken.
He didn't play.
Right. So if I'm not mistaken, he can't get credit for that shutout, which lifted you into the ninth place or whatever in points allowed and all this crap. He didn't play.
Yeah. I think if there's any...
17th to 9th in that game.
I think it's less how Tlaib played and the fact that by having him, you could move McCourty to safety.
You can still move McCourty to safety if you want to. It's the offseason. You can build a team.
This is where I do agree with Paul. Not that Brady stinks, but that if paying Tlaib means losing Welker, then it's fine because the offense will still be good without Welker, even if it takes a dip in points. But the secondary without Tlaib will be back to the 2011 levels with the hapless Jags moving up the depth chart. Keep Tlaib and add to that. Lastly, another topic of importance. Eric, when does the schedule come out?
That's really catching on. I like it.
It's the off season. Just because you don't sign Tlaib doesn't mean you can't draft and or sign or trade for anybody.
Hey, Kevin, we eating today?
Build a team.
I haven't got the call. Here are a couple of names on the free agent market who, you know, names you'd recognize probably. Would you want them or not instead of Tlaib, okay?
Paul lost interest. He just left.
Oh, I need Diet Coke.
He doesn't even turn his mic off. He throws his headset on.
Mike Jenkins.
Where is Mike Jenkins?
Mike Jenkins.
He was
with Dallas.
Still?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember when he came out.
There was some interest.
He has not played well. He has not played well.
System, do you think? Or just talent?
If he comes here, it'll be the system that was causing him to not play well.
Leotis McKelvin.
No.
Captain Munnerlin.
I don't know much about him.
He
liked him coming out of South Carolina.
Yeah.
I liked a lot of guys. Chris Houston's on that list. I loved him coming out. He stinks.
Nate Clements?
No.
He's old, but...
Dead.
Kelvin Hayden?
No.
Don't know enough about him.
There's no... I mean
it's not a great class.
The only number one corner on the market.
Well, number one in quotes, I think, because as we said, I think there's a
He's a number one corner. He's a number one corner, just like Matt Light was a number one left tackle. Not the best, but he's a legit number one corner.
Antoine Kayson?
No.
Okay.
He's the only number one corner on the market.
Those are the names on the market that you would recognize.
Oh, we're talking strictly as a number one corner? Because I would take Kayson in a heartbeat as a guy to replace Arrington in the slot.
No, because you could move.
Oh, sure, but that's your third corner.
You could move.
Not as Tlaib.
I'm saying if you wanted to move Dennard over to left and then fill that right spot with any one of those guys I just mentioned, you could let Tlaib go. You could still have McCourty at safety.
We're going to find out.
I don't think you would have much of a drop-off, honestly.
Yeah, well, that's what I don't think they were that good.
Are any
secondary.
Of these guys going to... Is Tlaib going to command more money than these guys?
God, probably, yes.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
the top corner on the market. He is going to get $40 million and $20 million guaranteed.
Who were the other
I
guys?
I guarantee it.
I mentioned...
Kayson was one that...
Michael Jenkins would be a young
Mike
one.
Mike Jenkins, Leotis McKelvin, Captain Munnerlin.
Captain Munnerlin's not bad.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him.
Leotis McKelvin got benched, so he's. I would assume that he's done.
Jenkins fell out of favor in Dallas. They've been replacing him, but... Eric and I said it was a system problem. When he comes here, he'll be fine because it was a system.
Because generally, we fix guys.
Well, when Dick Geron gets here, we will.
I guess now he's being looked at for the Rams job?
Probably. I mean, he's a legit defensive coordinator. I didn't say it was going to be easy. You might have to pay him.
Dick Geron?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a head coach, defensive coordinator
sure.
type. And they don't have one.
Frank in Saratoga, New York writes in. He says, tag Vollmer, sign Tlaib, release Welker. Here's why. His age relevant to his physical condition given the abuse he has taken. Talking about Welker. We also have younger talent under him.
Really? Where?
Vereen, he spells it Vaheen, Endelman, etc. At some point, we need to develop the next generation. If they can't, I want to know now, not in two seasons.
Yeah, that's a smart logic. Why win two Super Bowls in the next 2 years?
It's just the opposite. You can put off for a couple of years not knowing. That's just the
worst flawed logic ever.
They have a team that's capable of getting to the Super Bowl right now. Would you not agree?
I agree.
So why would you
want
to...
Season's over.
His rationale for Welker was the age relative to the...
Physical condition.
You could make that same case for Vollmer. Age relative to physical condition.
Yeah, he's like an 85-year-old back.
Who's had a lot of serious injuries.
And keep Brady. He could be a very... Oh, thanks. He could be a very good part in the...
You brought it up. Why are you yelling at the guy?
He can be a very good part in the development of the next generation of receivers for the team. When it's time to replace...
I also disagree with that.
When it's time to replace Brady, God forbid, we have established, experienced receivers to assist a new quarterback.
I don't know.
I almost think that your new quarterback might benefit a little bit from having some new receivers to build with and then maybe having like one veteran
sure.
to sort of help him. You know, like Reggie Wayne with Andrew Luck. You know, having that one guy to rely on as your safety blanket.
Yep.
And especially if he plays like Reggie Wayne.
And then younger guys he's comfortable
and
with.
And have
like,
younger guys that he, you know, that you know, like Ryan Mallett, if he's going to develop into something, you know, he's going to be comfortable throwing to those guys. And I don't think Brady's been good for developing young receivers. I don't think that's
Taylor Price.
That's a good point.
You know,
Mario from San Benito, Texas, which is closer to Mexico than Alvin from Texas.
Nice. So you do cocaine, too?
Do you guys believe that whatever Ray Lewis took to help heal his tricep was the difference between being able to come back to the team come playoff time?
Nope.
If so, had Lewis not taken the substance and not come back to his team, do you all think that the Ravens would have reached the Super Bowl, let alone the AFC Championship game? So him coming back, do you think that's what put them over the top?
I think it helps.
Emotionally, it may have.
See, I think it would have been hard for him to have the emotional impact that he had in street clothes.
I agree.
On the field, he did next to – I know how many tackles he has. He did next to nothing for that team. But emotionally,
absolutely,
you can't put a price on that.
Yeah.
And well, no, I don't believe the deer thing did it. I believe the other things did it.
Yeah, the
that's what I think the funny story
the
is.
Double
here.
Stacking.
He's denying. He's like, wow, I can't believe they're only asking about the deer antlers.
And never taken that.
And that's why he's vehemently saying, "Yeah, I never did that."
But he may have also taken that.
Right.
I mean, can we get past the if a guy denies it, that means he didn't take it?
Right.
But or if he says he never passed a test for something they don't
test
assume, for?
Let's assume he's telling the truth. Right. He might be thinking. Yeah, you're right. I never took any of that
Disregard
stuff.
Disregard the
issue. I also
found it interesting.
You know what would be funny with all the God stuff? If one of these reporters held out a Bible and said, answer that with your hand on this.
He would, because
he would
a fraud.
Do it.
He's a fraud of biblical proportions.
He would do it no matter what.
Oh, I absolutely think he would, because the detractors think he's just a complete and total fraud.
Yeah. Andy?
So why wouldn't he just put his hand on the Bible?
Well, if he is a fraud, then he would. Yeah.
And if you believe in the Bible, lightning would strike him down, right? That's got to be something you believe in.
I also found
if you lie right with your hand on the Bible.
I also found it interesting that when it initially came out and he was asked about it in media day, and he denied it, but
Strong enough.
Yeah, and the Ravens wanted him to really
Dick
come
Cass.
Out, you know, much stronger, and you know that was his response yesterday.
Tom Curran, never,
never,
never.
Mario also says one more thing. I know this will sound like wishful fan thinking because it is, but what are your thoughts on a secondary involving Ed Reed, LaRon Landry as safeties, Talib and Dennard as your top two corners, and McCurdy as a nickel third corner? And yes, I know this lineup is less than 1% shot at happening since McCourty is Belichick's guy.
I take it. You have a physical safety. You have a roaming safety. You have McCourty backing up Reed as another roaming safety of two. Hmm. You know, I know we're kind of all in on Dennard, but he's obviously the question mark there.
I'm all in on Dennard.
Well, forget about all that. What do you think about
Unless he gets the
Ed Reed? Does he have a place here?
I like Ed Reed a lot less without LaRon Landry or physical safety.
I would take Ed Reed. Regardless, I think it's an upgrade.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Ed Reed or Steve Gregory?
Every play, though, we're talking.
Yeah, every play. Would you rather have the greatest safety of all time, according to Bill, or Steve Gregory?
You know.
He'll tell you.
Now you have two guys that don't want to
Ed Reed doesn't want to tackle?
No, he's not.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Didn't he get suspended for
I had an argument with you about 2 months ago that he is a chronic offender with the headshots.
You're right. You're right.
Now you're saying that you don't want him on the field every play instead of Steve Gregory?
Well, I thought that we were talking about if we got Ed Reed, it'd be more for situational.
Well, I think he's his ideal spot now is rotational. I don't think he's
that
an
might
every
be his ideal
player.
Spot.
I think
Ed Reed is
an average player without the dynamic touchdown returns on deep balls, and he doesn't do that anymore. So that's why I wouldn't necessarily be going out of my way to sign him. But in Eric's world here, when he was talking about
Eric's got his own world?
No, well, Eric said the whole thing about, I'll put Ed Reed, I'm with Eric. I mean, if I have my choice to have him or not have him, and I'm not worrying about, like, all the other stuff, the economics, I want him.
So it's,
he's a better player than Steve Gregory.
It's McCourty and Reed as your safeties.
It sounds like Adam 12.
Yeah.
Isn't it like Malloy and Reed?
I thought it was. Malloy and,
yeah. It's like McCourty and Reed.
That's good, Paul.
Sorry.
That's a 70s show.
What's Adam 12?
Andy's got the glass eyes.
Seven, Mary, three, and four.
So that would be a significant upgrade. You think going into the season, you got Dennard and Talib. Assuming you keep Talib, you bring in Reed and McCourty.
You also had Landry in that mix. Yeah. I like Landry aspect of it.
I'm saying that we don't get everything that we want.
So we don't get a physical safety. Okay.
Then that's an upgrade. It's not a significant upgrade.
It's still an upgrade, though.
It's an upgrade because Ed Reed's a better player than Steve Gregory.
I'm not really interested if it doesn't have Landry in the mix.
You want somebody who's physical, and you don't think
and I
want to
see his
physical.
Biceps in person.
You are such.
Oh my God!
But I don't think he's coming because his panties are still in a bunch.
Chris Culliver would not be comfortable with you in his locker room.
Well, his heart would, but his head would not be.
All right.
Fred just burped.
Let's see. Ryan in Ireland says, just wondering what would be the Aqib Talib situation if Ed Reed were to join the Patriots next season. Reed and Belichick have both expressed their mutual respect, Reed love. More interestingly, Reed sees Bill as a fashion icon with sleeveless hoodies. He did mention that at length. I don't think that there's anything stopping them bringing Reed because of money and Talib. I think Reed wouldn't command huge money at this point, right?
No.
I think he would still ask for
something. I think he would.
I think he would ask
He's
for something.
He's going to get money, but not huge. It's going to be a 3-year...
Which you wouldn't
whatever
live out.
I think he's going to get more money than the Patriots would be willing to give him. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Because the word out of Baltimore is going to be is that
even with all the Bill love,
they won't be able to pay him. So I don't think it's going to be a situation where he's just coming in and taking like a, you know, 2-year, $5 million deal. I don't think it's going to be something like that.
All right,
3 years, $16 million.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think the Patriots would give it to him.
Okay, we got a lot of show left. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Plenty of emails still coming in. All stuff Patriots. You can only get it here. We'll be right back.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback. a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios Internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I got her part. She
works hard for her money on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos.
Attached
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the disco kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller Coaster of Love.
I like the thing that struck out about that conversation we just heard the most is that Paul thinks he actually had a prime.
I did.
Yeah. What were you like in your prime, Paul? Were you just like, you know,
I was
chicks left and right?
Complete psychotic.
Yeah.
Threatening to kill Packers fans in New Orleans.
Yeah. No, that was after your prime, though, right? Wasn't it?
Oh, that was in my prime.
Was it? Okay. Scott, New Jersey,
all
writes in at Web Radio.
What would you consider your prime?
Right now.
Andy, what would you consider your prime?
I hate to see your down.
I live in the now. I don't live in the past.
You know, like 18 to like 28, 25. You know, something like that. Yeah, you're out. You're ripping it up.
18 to
25. Having fun. Yeah, you know.
Because that kind of spans you, the big man on campus in high school, then your transition into college, and then even your transition into out of school.
You know,
and then, 25.
And then you get to the point where, you know, I'm getting too old for this. I don't need to be going out on Thursday nights. You know, and you kind
of... And for you, I should probably move out of my mom's house.
Well, when I get out of jail...
How old do you think I was when I moved out of my mom's house?
I don't know. Didn't you live there like 35?
I did. 35?
I don't know.
No, it was more
funnier
like...
funnier in my
it
head.
It was more like 25. It was definitely longer than most. I went back to my parents' house after college, which I know a lot of people don't do that. I have no
nowadays they do.
A lot of people do.
I
do have that.
Nowadays, 40-year-olds with two kids move back in with their parents.
I have no embarrassment about that. I don't have any problems. But 35, I mean, that's a little ridiculous.
After I left University of Tampa, it was during Christmas break, and I came home, and my dad said, "You can either go back to school and get a job, but you're not staying here."
That was the right thing to say, right?
I guess so.
So you started at Tampa and then went to Emerson or vice versa?
Yeah, I started at Tampa and graduated from Emerson.
Went to Emerson.
Yeah.
He emphasizes I graduated from Emerson.
Well, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
You know, we've had some people on this show who may or may not have ever graduated from anything.
Well, that could be. Scott, New Jersey, I haven't heard much serious talk about replacing McDaniels as offensive coordinator because that talk shouldn't be serious. I think. Anyway, down here I had to listen.
Oh, we do have Dable ready to slide right in.
Yeah. I had to listen to Jets fans stick it to me about the Ravens using the defensive game plan that Ryan used to beat the Patriots in the playoffs a couple years ago. I have since read several articles also saying this. What kind of offensive coordinator would not look at and have a plan to counter a defense a similar but lesser team used not too long ago to beat you in the playoffs? McDaniels was a failure in Denver, 5-17 in his last 22 games. And in St. Louis as offensive coordinator, he led to it to being the worst offense in the league in 2011, only scoring more than 13 points in three games during the season. Not to mention bringing Lloyd in last year and doing what with him? Could it be that the Patriots score because of talent, not him? They did okay with O'Brien last year.
So... the regular season success was due to talent, but the postseason failure was due to McDaniels. Is that how it works? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He's right on one thing. The regular season success was due to talent. And you know what the postseason failure was due to? Talent.
Now, I also would throw in, not the biggest X's and O's guy in the world. I don't know every defensive scheme that's ever been concocted. I did talk to Dean Pease after the game. Dean Pease also talked a little bit to Greg Bedard, who wrote virtually the same exact story that we wrote in our paper post-game. And Dean Pease basically poo-poos the whole Jets thing. He just talked about changing things up and
doing different, you know, it was similar in that disguising the pre-snap reads and stuff like that. But this whole funneling everything to the middle, and Dean Pease just, no, we changed coverages. We tried to make sure that we didn't let Tom understand what we were going to do on every play. That's what was most important to Dean Pease, was not letting Tom get a read, because the respect that Dean had for Brady was absurd. You know, it's, you know, just unbelievably high, right, from all those days practicing against him. Funny story that in one of those, he said, we always knew, we used to get very competitive. He goes, everybody looked at Tom Brady as that, you know, the boyish grin and just the nice little boy, but what a competitive streak he had. And even in practice,
we've seen
he would sit there. And he's in
the competitive streak, I mean.
And Dean said, you know, when we had guys like Vrabel, you know, we didn't feel like we had him won. We didn't feel like we had him beat until we made him throw his helmet somewhere. Vrabel would talk so much and they would win so many reps that we'd make Brady throw his helmet. That's when we said, okay, we won today.
Which is tantamount to him taking his bat and going for a tearful walk around the block after he didn't get drafted.
Now who's doing the hating?
Oh, there's things I hate about Brady's personality. I mean, I think that's with anybody. I think everybody has personality flaws, some of them, and that may be why he's great. That personality flaw in him, that he's a competitive, poor loser, whiny little bitch at times, may be why he is great. I mean, there's you take the good and the bad with people.
Robert writes in, I'd like to impose on you guys for a six-minute debate between Paul and Andy. The rules are Paul gets 2 minutes, Andy gets 2 minutes. Rebuttal time, Andy a minute, Paul a minute. Resolved. Pro football, as we know it, will not be around in 30 years. Paul says it will. Andy says it won't. I don't know. Do you guys agree with that? Pro football, as we know it, will not be around in 30 years.
I agree with that because it won't be the way we know it now.
Yeah, you can't disagree with
now,
that.
Now, I don't know the time frame. Pro football, as we know it, isn't what it was 30 years ago.
30 years ago, yeah.
We don't know the time frame, but this game is changing. We are seeing a metamorphosis in terms of player safety and all of that stuff. Drugs. At some point, I'd like to think they're going to get drugs mildly under control.
God, I hope so.
And that's going to change a lot of the game in terms of the size of players, the ability to bounce back from injuries, the nature of returning from major injuries.
Hopefully by then they'll teach players how to tackle, too, and you'll actually see tackling again in the NFL. Uh-huh. Real tackling.
Well, I think the NFL is going to have to work closely with the NCAA. Because these guys are taking it in college,
even lower,
too. And so,
even lower.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know kids in high school do, you know, in southeastern Massachusetts.
I was a tackling machine.
Yeah.
Paul.
So, you know.
Do with that as you may.
8 yards downfield?
It has to be throughout the sport and really throughout all sports. There has to be a concerted effort to work together to get rid of this stuff or, I don't know, make it safe.
Yeah, good luck with that.
One way or the other. I don't know.
It doesn't trickle up. It trickles down.
Yeah. Right. So
you need to fix it. I mean, it's like the NBA, the loss of fundamentals and the dunks and the highlights. You know, they're still teaching fundamentals at the youth level. The problem is at some point they start trying to act like NBA players.
Yeah.
And that's going to continue to happen until you get NFL players to stop acting like
NFL
players.
But those kids that need the fundamentals most are not the ones that make it to the NBA. It's the ones that just because of the sheer size and talent
but
can
you need
get
to,
away with
but
it.
You need to
then they go to college right. for 1 year. And then they go to the pros.
Those are the ones that need it most, though. The
yeah.
ones that don't get it because they're so talented need it more than those
others.
Yeah,
but they don't get it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They need it.
And they never will.
Right.
Okay, so let's move on.
Noel says, hey, guys.
What's Brian Gumbel like? Let's move on.
Really bummed here in Denver. The Blake Street Tavern wasn't rocking. I don't know how you can play an AFC Championship game with that lack of intensity. You first want to blame the coaching, but when the day's over, 31st in pass defense last year and 26th this year. Everybody seems to put the pressure on Brady in the big games. We need a deep threat, a real tough running back like Corey Dillon, and a good corner. Bill takes away things away, and like you say, others do as well. Welker is a playmaker, so sign him, get it over with. Find a tough running back, someone who can really spread the field and sign a legitimate corner and pass rusher. Wow.
I agree. If you get a legit guy at all those positions, this team's going to be better.
Right. As well as every other team. We lost because we were one-dimensional. We lost because Pease mirrored Belichick. Keep Tom Brady until he's ready to go, for he has done more with little than Peyton, Breeze. He's talking about Sean Payton. Oh, no. Peyton Manning, I guess. Breeze, Rodgers, or any of the rest. Spend some money, Mr. Kraft, and make it right. Fix the defense.
They spend money.
Okay.
Here we go.
Paul always says okay when he was going to let something right. slide, but he's not going to let it slide. Now he's going to tell you why he didn't let it slide.
No, I'm confused about something, and I'm legitimately confused.
No, you're not.
No, no, no.
You're busting the guy's balls.
I was just going to say, I'm not trying to set the guy up. Is he saying that they underperformed in the playoffs, or is he saying they're not good enough? Because at the beginning, I was sort of along the line of, you know, he said they didn't come out to play.
They're not good enough.
They underperformed in the playoffs. They didn't come out with the intensity. How can you not come out with intensity in the in the AFC championship game? And then he kind of wrapped the whole thing up with, keep Brady, he's done more with less, which sort of indicates that you don't think they have enough talent.
Right.
Which one of those is accurate?
Yeah, I think that's what he was saying when he said they went from 31st in defense to 20. They're not that good. So, look at the numbers.
Okay.
The numbers tell you
that's
not
what
that
I was
good.
Asking. Yeah, see, I had no
Brady
ulterior
has taken
motive.
Chicken
I didn't get it.
Poop and made it into chicken salad a lot. Yeah. So don't blame him on the one day when he makes chicken poop.
Yeah, and I would counter that they have plenty of talent around Brady. That's all.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not so sure about that.
Are they the most talented
playmakers.
Team? Are they the most talented team in the NFL? No, they're not.
Playmakers aren't always the most talented.
They're not the most talented team.
They make
in the
plays.
League. But they're, you know, to play Fred's side of the street, there's a lot of teams that would love to be as talented as the Patriots.
I agree.
And they're not.
Especially at quarterback. Paul wouldn't agree with that.
You can keep playing all the games that you want to play over there.
Well, you think you're blaming Brady, so you don't think there's a lot of teams that
no,
would want
I'm
Brady
not
as their quarterback.
I'm blaming Brady. I'm simply not letting him off the hook. Like a lot of other people are.
I don't think a lot of people are letting him off the hook.
Yeah, well, Greg Bedard let him completely off the hook.
So you're fighting one guy.
No, I'm saying.
You're fighting one individual.
You don't think that his is the most common line of thought in the post-game analysis game?
I have no idea. I think the most common was they got their asses kicked. They weren't ready to play in really any area. They weren't emotionally into it. They didn't execute in any one area overly well. I mean, that's what I thought. That's what a lot of people I talked to, for example, the guy who pulled up next to me when I was jogging yesterday and said, "Hey, you're the guy from that Patriots show, right? What happened?" And then he goes, "I think they just didn't show up. I thought everybody played crap." That's what people think.
Yeah, I think.
But you are fighting Greg Bedard.
I think the quarterback is at the top of the list.
Yeah, everybody.
But no one's allowed to say that because you'll get thrown out of the Elk Lodge.
What Elk Lodge?
The Boston media.
Like, who is he fighting with?
Have you heard anybody? I've heard a lot of people say what you just said.
The Flintstones.
I haven't heard a lot of people say anything about Brady.
But I think Brady's included in that.
I don't.
Oh, I do.
I don't think anybody's writing that.
I think we got a ton of emails of people.
Oh, wait a minute. Our fans are legit.
His emotion. He didn't, you know, I expect him to be the driving force of the emotion. He's the one who needs to get those guys going.
This isn't about the PFW in Progress family here. This is not about our listeners. Our listeners, after we lose a game, they want to get rid of everybody. That's the passion that I kind of like. Is they get a little irrational after losses and everyone must go. I kind of like that. And then we settle down and we get back and you
when
know
are
like,
you going to settle
like
down
Fred.
And say Brady's pretty good?
As soon as someone says that Brady had at least some responsibility for them
losing,
I think
everybody except apparently Greg Bedard did.
Maybe I missed him. I
like
don't know.
Joe Average. I mean, I don't know.
No,
if,
I'm talking
if...
about the analysts.
So who did?
Around here.
Who said Brady was fine? Don't blame him.
I didn't read really anything negative from anybody.
When you're talking about the failure of that game.
He's number one on my list.
Okay, that's
top
the point.
On my
that's
list.
That's
my
point. That's what differentiates
Paul. He's the most important
from
guy.
Most people. Most people don't have
now,
Brady.
Now, Andy
at
might
the top
be right. Maybe
list.
Everybody else is including Brady. I haven't really seen much.
Yeah. But I think the difference is you have him at the top of the list, and I will admit I don't. I don't have him at the top of the list.
See, I would, but I think I think they all basically sucked. The one guy who I think actually showed up is the guy people like to blame, Welker, because he had one drop. I thought he was all in that game. I thought his punt returns were good. I thought he caught the ball well. I thought he took big hits and got up.
I put coaching before Brady. I put coaching before Brady.
What form of coaching? Like what? Where
play calling?
The lack of aggressiveness that we were used to.
The fourth down punts and plus 50.
Yeah.
Coaching's number two on my list, but I have no problem with you putting coaching ahead.
Yeah, but see, to me,
and I would also be happy if someone put coaching on the list too. You get thrown out of the lodge for that too.
Yeah, that's
where
true.
Is this lodge?
You didn't read.
What kind of food do they serve at this
lodge? You didn't read the story.
Greg Bedard's in there eating chicken wings.
You know what's better, Paul?
You didn't read
life
the story
without reading
week.
All these lodge stories because I ignore them and I feel very happy.
Big story in Boston Magazine. What I'm referring to, some guy wrote
Alan
a story.
Alan Siegel.
Yeah,
wrote
not the other one. Not the Alan.
Not
the
two guys. Another guy wrote a story about.
Oh, there's a different Alan.
The cranky
Siegel.
Boston media and how different. There hasn't been a
the
new...
Boston Sports Lodge of negativity or something like that. That's what I'm referring to.
Right.
But if the line of thinking is that these people now the beat writers are afraid to criticize the team and really cover tough stories because of their access. And I think it's largely true. I think that element of that, we started with the Red Sox and you know, the beer and chicken thing that's going on that clearly was common knowledge and no one's writing it and until, you know, it's all over. And then last year with the whole Bobby Valentine fiasco, national guys are swooping in writing these stories
right, the national,
about meetings, yeah. You know, where the players supposedly got together and told ownership they wanted him fired.
Yeah, they're saying that there's nothing, they're not breaking stories, and there's nothing fresh. It's the same old tired voices and columns in Boston media.
Now, that overall story was ridiculous. Yeah. It was, to me, an example of a young guy trying to break into the media who's complaining that there's no jobs for young guys.
Well, it feels like they're all jobs for young guys.
Right. I think right now there's more opportunity than ever.
Every year, the Patriots beat changes. There's new guys flowing. Well, the old guard feels like they're gone.
When you add the Comcast website, the EEI website, the Nessen website,
right.
You know, there's more opportunities for writing than ever.
And they're all young guys. It's not like they've brought back guys that got laid off 5 years ago. You know, Kevin Mannix wasn't brought back to be – you know, the guy at New England Cable News or Nessen. They all have young guys working for them.
ESPN Boston, they got Reese and they got the two young guys with them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah.
I agree.
And so, the other aspect of it, like,
but
what access do the writers get that they would lose, specifically on this beat? We know this beat as well as any. I mean, there's limited access as it is. If you're afraid that you're going to lose, I mean, what are you going to lose?
Yeah.
Who has all these, like, inside sources and information coming out of Foxborough? There isn't any.
I just feel like the people around here are afraid to criticize the two big guns in general.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's plenty of criticism going around.
I mean, the coaching.
And I would include Belichick and Brady partly because of what Paul said. I include them as key parts to the praise, to the middle ground, because they're the two biggest forces on the team.
I think we're...
You lose, they basically lose.
I think people get their information from different places. And depending on where you get that information from, you think that's how it is. If you listen to Ordway, then you agree with Paul. No one wants to criticize the Patriots. But if you listen to Felger,
Patriots
that's
been
all
good
they
in
do
five
is
years.
Criticize the Patriots.
Felger is the only exception to that, to my
But those are the two main voices on the radio.
And they're both ridiculous.
But it's like
they're on opposite ends of the spectrum of ridiculousness.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
Where is the objectivity? I'll tell you where. PFW in progress, Tuesdays and Thursdays, noon to two.
I'd like to think that that's true. And I think we really do a good job of trying to do that. We try to present all sides. But, just an example. Andy and I were reading something before the Ravens game. And the Herald had a big, and I forget who wrote it, so I'm not taking a specific shot, but they had the big spread with all the positional breakdowns, positional groups, wide receivers, Torrey Smith,
Karen.
Anquan Boldin, Jacoby Jones against Wes Welker, Brandon Lloyd, and Deion Branch. Edge?
Ravens.
Oh, no, Patriots. Tight ends, Michael Omanawanui, Aaron Hernandez, and Daniel Fells against Dennis Pitter and Ed Dixon. Edge?
Ravens.
No, Patriots. That's what I'm kind of talking about. That's
Karen,
I think that I don't want to put too many checks in the Ravens side because someone might read it and they get mad at me. That's how I feel. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not why people look at it that way. But that would just happen to be one thing that, remember, we were reading before the pregame social.
That's the wrong way to do edges anyway. You do their offense against the defense because the tight ends don't play against each other. Anyway, that's how we do it in our paper. It's...
Because our way
defense.
Is the right way.
It is. Who can't, you
but
know?
It was a different exercise.
You want the right matchups. 1-800-494-PATS or get your Patriots football daily
but, like,
application
I see,
on your
you know,
iPad.
You know the way we do that every
application.
Week?
Right.
I could never see, like, in general, the other team getting a helmet in the paper the way we do it.
Lodge.
I think on a consistent basis.
I like this lodge thing. I'm not really comfortable
with
it.
You have to wear the big puffy hat.
On a consistent basis, I don't think you'd see the other team getting
many
helmets in those matchups. You know, when the Patriots run, well, we can't run the ball, but we're going to get the edge. I don't know.
Are you in the lodge?
Maybe. I don't know.
He doesn't pay for friendship.
No one allows. I can't. I don't pay people to be my friend.
Like to see those meetings when
Bedard and Perillo show up to the lodge.
Paul would be
time.
In the lodge, but once a week he'd have a walkout strike where he just
I'm out. Then he'd call back the next week. Right. I can still come right on Monday.
I'm not the one that
cried. Like Costanza when he comes back to work. And,
I'm not the one who cried about not being able to have lunch a couple weeks ago. Media lunch, Fred. Yeah.
Well, I think that was a legitimate rare occurrence.
I do too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm with you, Fred. I'm with Fred.
And just so you know, the same thing happened to me a long time ago with pizza, but it wasn't legitimate then.
But he doesn't remember or hold a grudge.
Who's remembering? He's calling it a walkout strike.
Yeah, you've had wildcat strikes over just the quality of the food. You know, forget about, like, not being able to eat.
Well, I mean, there was a time where we had chicken, like, 8 days in a row, and I just said, you know what, I got to get something
else. If it's
else
free.
And I don't know why you call that a strike when I would rather go out and buy something that's different.
It was the
and then slam it down on the table.
That's the part that didn't happen.
It was the drama that was accompanying it. Yeah, it was very dramatic.
The drama was when we had pizza on Wednesdays that I was told I could have, like, I could eat it, but only what they told me to have, and I would go upstairs and get my own. That was drama. I would saunter down with my lunch so everybody could see it. Just hoping someone would ask me, why'd you bring lunch today? We get lunch.
Passive aggressiveness.
Exactly. That, it would be 100% true, what Andy's talking about. The day that I went to D'Angelo's when we had chicken, like, 8 days in a row, there was no drama involved.
There was a little bit of drama.
I just didn't want to have chicken again, especially when it was chicken that was cooked 8 days earlier, and we were eating it the same day.
I do like the way Fred tells that story, though.
No, but it's better that way.
Sandwich, and he slams it on the desk.
Because that makes for a better story than what actually happened.
It kind of felt that way, though, because we were all sitting there with
Fred's a great storyteller.
And Paul just walks in the middle of our, you know, plates, just slams down his steak and cheese.
And it's like a movie based on a true story. I mean, we may have fluffed a little up, but it's based on a true story.
Yeah, but the part that was
artistic
funny.
Artistic license is what it's
the
called.
The part that was funny was the part
the
that was
slamming
wasn't
true. Down on the table.
Because there was no slamming down on the table.
A little bit. Were you there that day?
Yes. Yeah. I recall.
The table shake?
A little bit of slamming.
There was as much chance of him saying, he didn't slam it down, Fred.
He certainly didn't slide it onto the table.
You didn't quietly walk in and fall into the background.
Thank you. Quietly walk in.
No. That's what you didn't do.
That's what I did.
All right. Let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge. Thanks for holding on.
That's all right, man. Love hearing y'all talk and argue.
Thanks.
But I got to disagree on a couple things. Captain Merlin, no, man. I watch him I watch the Patriots on the NFL Network, NFL Ticket. Merlin, he always get beat long. He can't cover the deep ball.
Okay.
So he'll fit in here.
Good. No, but good to know. He's right in his backyard. That's good to know.
Is he playing any slot?
No, sir. He's on the outside corner, the left corner. He's always burnt, no matter who's playing him, he gets burnt.
Okay.
Especially when they're ahead, so you don't want him. Now, having a man, Ed Reed, and LeRon Landry, I would take them over Gregory and McCourty any day of the week. McCourty, y'all think he's a good safety, or might be trying to get into the role, but yes, he have his moments, but he also get burnt a lot, too, and don't come on run support. So I would have those two and put McCourty on one corner. Dennard on the other one, and if we lose to leave on another corner, like Tommy Campbell out of Tennessee, because they're going to release him this year, too. You know?
Okay.
But further than that, no. And Paul?
Yes.
I don't know what radio station you were looking to. They don't give the Patriots the edge on everything, because the receivers, when we played the Ravens, NFL Network gave the receivers.
Oh, that's national stuff. Yeah. I mean,
Ravens.
National guys are different.
They hate us.
Well, that's what local guys think that.
Well, it's
true. They do that. You're right.
Because they gave the edge to the Ravens. Right. That means you hate us.
They hate us.
That's exactly why the local guys won't do that. They don't want to be deemed hating the Patriots. Mm. Just proved my point. Thanks, Fred.
You're welcome. Yeah,
but also, as far as his receiver, are you talking about Randy over Lloyd? Or you have Lloyd? Not me. At least Randy will cover or demand a double coverage if somebody else running loose.
I knew we wouldn't be able to get through an Eldridge call without a Moss reference.
You got that right. If Moss, I hope he wins the Super Bowl, be honest, get a ring.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I would like him to get a ring before Ray Lewis.
I would rather.
Ray already has one.
Nah, I'm sorry.
I'd rather have Randy have one. But yeah.
Gotta disagree.
Wright is just the best wide receiver of all time. If Randy had a quarterback like Brady the whole time, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Or if he had Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning, maybe. But to me, Moss is the second best receiver But ain't nobody gonna top Randy. I'm not still not Randy, but
Rice.
Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
You know, he's the best of all time. So yeah. I gotta go with that.
All right, Aldrich, thanks for the call. Appreciate you hanging on all as well. Dan at DC, as far as priority and how you would list it, why the Patriots lost that game against the Ravens, he has it in order. The Ridley fumble, two, no timeouts in the red zone before the half. He puts that on Brady and the coaches.
Yeah.
Three, Gregory crappy coverage. Four, the Welker drops. And finally, the offensive play calling, and he puts that on Brady and the coaches. So
the Ridley.
What was
fumble,
wrong with the play calling? Out of curiosity,
that's a
second or third reference I've heard of that.
I can't. I
you said
know.
The coaching was bad.
Yeah.
You know, was it play calling or was it just the decisions to
aggressive
to
the
punt?
Punts. Yeah,
because I'm with you on aggressiveness.
Yeah, not the.
It
plays.
Wasn't the coach's fault that they designed some really great backdoor screens that Brady threw into the ground. Yeah. You know, I mean, I know that.
And is the fumble considered a mistake?
Because you can't.
No, he's just saying it, why they lost the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because he got knocked out.
Can't,
I mean.
Yeah, you can't blame the guy for.
I wasn't ball. Feeling good even before that fumble, as I recall. There was something.
No.
You know.
You shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Momentum was on Baltimore's side at that point.
Let's go to, speaking of Baltimore, Ian. He's down in Baltimore. What's going on, Ian?
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
I'm a first-time caller. I listen to you guys all the time. I think you guys are a really, really good show. I am from Baltimore. I'm a Ravens fan. I just want to put that out there.
Oh,
but
excellent.
I respect the Patriots a whole lot. A couple of things I want to talk about. I think the issue in New England and the reason why the Ravens won, I think the Ravens just wanted it more. I really do. I think the Ravens were just hungrier, kind of tired of being disrespected. And I also think the Ravens are a little more talented, too. I heard you guys mention, I listened to your podcast, if I can't catch you live, somebody talked about Brady and since his injury, how he kind of doesn't like to stay in the pocket for long periods of time to throw a deep ball. I think it's very, very accurate. You know, I'm not saying Brady's time has passed, but, you know, unless you find a guy like Wes Welker who can also break off a really, really long run all the time to make up for it, to compensate for a deep ball, I mean, you guys, I mean, you may just be looking up for a while. I mean, what do you think about that?
I certainly think Brady's, I don't want to say competitive nature, but he gets antsy. He anticipates the rush, and at times it certainly adversely affects his game, and we've noticed it in games for a quarter, and then it's like he's able to snap out of it. A couple plays are made and he gets comfortable again, but when he's unsettled back there, and he certainly was unsettled in this game, it's a detriment to the offense, and it's very difficult for this offense to overcome that when he feels that way.
And the key that we found for opposing teams is to get him unsettled early.
Yep.
And then make hay when that happens,
which is difficult to do.
Oh, yeah. No, he's great.
It's the old starting pitcher thing. You better get to Roger Clemens in the first inning because you're not getting to him in the sixth or whatever.
And if you can get him unsettled, and I do agree with your premise, I never really put two and two together in terms of his unsuredness in the pocket with the deep ball, but he hasn't thrown a good deep ball in a long time on a consistent basis.
No.
And I wonder if it is
since 07. You know, I did a little research. Not, you know, I'm sure you guys can give me more background information. I have two things I'm going to let you guys go. One, Randy Moss. I was always curious as to what happened with that. I mean, I thought that was a beautiful combination. What was the drama in him leaving? And then why did he have to leave? And then the second thing, the comment that Wes Welker made, I just want to clarify a couple of things. I am an attorney. I'm not really Lewis's attorney, but I am a lawyer. And I heard what the comment that she made. And then one of you guys, or somebody on this show, said that, well, the things that she said were accurate, and they weren't. You know, let me just clarify, and then I'm going to let you guys go. Ray Lewis was not acquitted of murder. He was acquitted of obstruction of justice.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Well,
he was not acquitted. He
Ray
pled
Lewis
to
never,
it.
Has never been married. You know, she said how he's been married four times and six kids. He's never been married.
No, she said he had six kids with four women.
Right, and he's not married now?
No, he's not married.
Oh, I thought he
was
married recently.
Yeah, I thought he was.
No, he's not married, you know. So I just want to put it out there. I'm going to go and let you guys go. I'll listen to you.
Okay, all right.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling.
You know, as far as Randy Moss, it came to a point where Randy saw the end coming, and he started using the post game as a forum to express, you know, I think he wanted to stay, but I don't think the Patriots were willing to pay him, and so he started talking his way out of town early.
Yeah, what he saw was a diminished role coming,
yeah,
and he didn't want to stay and be a part of it. That's why, you know, these people that say there's a good fourth or fifth option, I'm like, He didn't want to do that here with Tommy.
And he doesn't want to do it in San Francisco.
He doesn't want to do it now. He said it yesterday.
No, but a lot of people say he doesn't want to do it in San Francisco, but it'd be different here. He loves Bill. He loves Tom. He was here with Bill and Tom and didn't want to do it. So the chance, I mean, listen, maybe he understands. I'll do it for them now. I understand I was wrong now. Maybe you want to roll, you know, take that roll of the dice. I don't.
No. I wonder if he thought, though, that Brady wasn't as good afterwards.
After the injury?
Yeah. And that started to eat at him, and they, you know, they weren't making the same plays with the same type of success. And
ooh, I would find that hard to believe.
I think Moss is a guy that once something gets in his ear and his brain could really...
If he thought it, he'd never say it. He wouldn't want to be thrown out of the lodge.
He's in the lodge?
No. Jeez.
And then he went to Minnesota. He didn't like the food.
But he already...
Then he went into retirement. He didn't like retirement. Then he went to San Francisco. He didn't like it by the bay.
Right.
Second time on the opposite side of the bay.
Salt in Orlando. Hey, Salt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Up.
Supposed to ask how's
been
Pepper.
Been wanting to call for a while, but I've been busy. But
how's Pepper?
Talk about everything I want.
Where's
to talk
Pepper?
About.
Hey, whoa. Where's Pepper?
Say what?
Where's Pepper?
She's pretty angry because she doesn't want to be Pepper anymore. She wants to be Mrs. Salt.
Uh-oh.
Well, you better put a ring on a finger.
Working on that. So
just between the two of us.
What?
Yeah, a couple hundred thousand.
She have fancy taste, that Pepper, soon to be Mrs. Salt? How long you have to save here?
I don't know, probably like 3-4 months. I've been working doubles and triples. So.
Oh, that'll work out in the end. So. Good luck with that.
What could go wrong?
So, how do you think Steven Ripley's going to do next year? Because, I mean, he runs kind of weird and puts his back to the line and everything. And I wonder if this huge concussion, I assume he got a concussion. I wonder if that, you know, messes his psyche up a little bit.
I don't think it'll mess with his psyche.
No?
I think he runs weird. He's never going to be a traditional runner. And Paul and I were talking about the other day whether he's ever going to take the next step. You know, now he's a 1,000-yard back. He's a good, proven, featured back. But does he have the ability to take it to the next level and become kind of elite, Pro Bowl caliber back? We'll see about that. But I don't know. I doubt that he's suddenly going to turn into mush because he took a big hit and got knocked out.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. And you
That's
know,
the second time, though, you know. Because the fumble in the year before, same basic thing. He got hit and kind of crumbled and lost the ball.
But, I mean, I'm guessing he had that at LSU. And that's kind of the life of an NFL running back. It's kind of why they last like 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I don't want to, you know, a lot of people think, you know, they got to get the big Corey Dillon back. I don't want any part of that. So you can have that be an element of your offense for a couple of years, and you need another one.
Right. If you're the big, bruising, big, powerful running back, you can't avoid it like Brady avoids it and still is able to compete. If you avoid it, then you're not a player anymore. You're not useful.
And there are always exceptions to the rule. I mean, I think there's probably two of them playing in the Super Bowl with Gore and Rice. They've both been able to be pretty productive for multiple seasons
but
now.
But Rice, it's only the fourth year?
Yeah, and he's also a little bit of a different kind of a guy, too. He's so small. I think it's...
He's still right in that window of, okay, yeah, you can have a 4 or 5 year career. How long are you going to get out of this? How much more are you going to put into it? And it's why all the teams always balk at the next contract.
Curtis Martin, I mean, you know, they made the mistake, but that was the whole
word. He's the exception, not the rule.
The average running back only has 5 or 6 years. And,
but that part is true. I mean, that, you know, why they lost him is probably not that the reasoning was not good.
But that's what they were saying.
But,
you know, how's Peterson going to look in 3 years? You know, the ACL aside, I mean, he's as violent a runner as there is. Is he still going to be able to maintain that and stay at that level?
And who knows? Maybe with these guys that learn
the
nutrition.
Advances of training and nutrition.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe some of those old
rules. You can't train the brain. None of these things do anything to the brain.
Maybe some of those old rules now get stretched out a little bit, though, because of that.
Maybe.
I don't know.
What was the question? Salt.
Steven Ridley, what do you think? He's worried.
Will you marry me?
Salt is worried that Steven Ridley's going to turn to mush.
Free agency last year, I think we made a hard push for Reggie Wayne, and I think he went back to the Colts.
Yeah.
How good do you think this offense would have been?
Oh my
Reggie
God.
Reggie Wayne instead of Brandon Lloyd.
Assuming he, you know, I think it would have been way better.
He was able to pick it up.
Yeah. Not necessarily score more points or get more yards.
In New Orleans. We'd be doing this show in the team hotel in New Orleans.
Is this the time to pile on?
Sure.
Assuming that Tom actually, you know, acknowledged that Reggie Wayne was on the team.
Well, he would have called Peyton. It would have been fine.
It would have been light years better.
Because he can actually make plays. He's a playmaker.
Because you never know if he didn't, you know, look at Tom the right way on an out pattern.
Well, I got to think Brandon Lloyd didn't look at him the right way at some point.
In a May
he looked at everybody not the right way at some point.
During a May passing camp, if he wasn't where he was supposed to be, that might have been the end of Reggie Wayne.
Guess which PFW writer is never going to be able to cross that moat? Paul Perillo.
Guess which PFW writer has no interest in crossing the moat?
He wants to climb a mountain with Drew.
Eldridge was a couple callers before me, and I know he obviously loves 2007 Randy Moss, but I'm looking for a wide receiver, maybe like a 2007 Dante Stallworth who could get a bubble screen and take it like 30 yards and catch a ball maybe 30, 40 yards downfield.
Julian Edelman.
60-yard bomb all the time, but, you know, to get a nice 30, 40 yards, you know, sometimes we get him out of Welker, but I like a guy maybe consistently doing that.
Yeah, there's not a – this free agent class, we were looking at it upstairs earlier,
thanks,
like cornerback after Tlaib.
Eh.
Wide receiver. Eh. There's just not – you know, you have Greg Jennings, you have
– I think wide receiver is the deepest of the crop
this
year,
but there's not
though.
That much I saw one where Edelman was like the sixth-ranked receiver. Hello?
What?
Hello? Like, there's just not a lot of talent out there in free agency.
I would like to
some
see
some of the spots I've looked
at. I would
but
like
remember,
to see
guys come available, like they always yeah, do.
I would right, like yeah. to see what would happen to Julian Edelman if he signed a free agent deal somewhere.
What would happen to him on the field, you mean?
Like, I don't think much. Think
my
be,
guess is
he'd be out of the league in 2 years.
The same thing that happened here. He'd have a couple nice punt returns. He'd miss 7 games due to injury. And in 2 years, yes, he'd be out of the league. Cause
yeah. Now, if he stays here, there's a chance that he always has that niche.
Yeah.
That... You know, he could continue to operate in. Dwayne Bowe, I know what you think of him overall, but...
I would take him.
I would take him. Yeah, there were some guys missing from the list I was looking at, I think. I don't know why they didn't include... I think Bowe and Wallace, they both didn't include. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't pay for Bowe. Like, it's... I got a little Bill in me. I want a good receiver, but I'm not willing to pay what good receivers
cost.
You
got to take a chance sometime,
well,
Andy.
I'm not taking a chance on Bowe, then.
But
no, I'm not.
You know, I know you want to make sure it's a sure thing, but you got to take that chance sometimes.
Your guy Sammy Stroud is available.
My guy.
Yeah, remember you liked him a few years ago.
Yeah, as a Jag.
Well, then he's the perfect Patriot.
It's true.
Brian Hartline, Devery Henderson, Victor Cruz... Braylon Edwards, you already mentioned Wallace. And
Brian
Jennings.
Hartline.
Turn on your Hartline.
He's an outside guy. He can get down the field. Yeah. That's not – I don't think he's great.
But he's not bad.
But he's not
what
I bad. Think
he and is. There's no chance that the Giants don't the re-sign Cruz, right?
Well, they could tag him.
Yeah. Or he's going to stay a Giant.
Probably.
In other words.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
I'd be stunned.
Yeah. Because I'd love him.
Ramsey's Barden. Another
Paul
Giant.
Loves him.
I hate Ramsey's Barden.
I thought you loved him.
I know. I said that on purpose. I know Paul didn't like him.
Ramsey's Barden?
What about Devery Henderson?
He's
30. He's 30 years old.
He seems like he's really fallen off.
Well, if we're going to get a Patriot-type signing, we got to find the reason why he's a Patriot-type signing.
There's a guy.
Now we're just talking. I'm just looking at guys that I would be interested in signing, not necessarily guys I think the Patriots would be. Like, I don't think the Patriots would sign Mike Wallace.
Okay, Julio Jones.
He's not available.
Right.
Oh, you just said any guys I'm interested in signing.
No,
that
guys
Eric
that are
is,
available.
That Eric is indicating they're free agents.
Well, I've already said I want Julius Peppers as my pass rusher.
Yeah, he has established that precedent. That's true.
If I can get Jones and Peppers, I'm feeling good.
Jerry Rice in the 80s.
This guy is an RFA. So
1986 Jerry Rice.
He's likely going to stay with his team, but I'm kind of intrigued by, since we see him a lot, David Nelson of Buffalo. He falls into that tall,
Nelly.
Big
yeah.
type...
Yeah.
He's made some plays against us. I mean, that's not. Yeah.
Paul believes they would have gone to the Super Bowl 2 years ago if it weren't for him getting hurt.
You are insane.
And I have a memory.
You are absolutely insane.
Jimmy Burke writes in.
Hey, Jimmy.
I'm going to make you start writing those stupid stories and see how you can make those teams sound like Bill makes them sound on Wednesdays.
He would tag Vollmer, release Tlaib, and sign Welcher. I love
hey, that's what I said. No, wait. No, I said
I think
tag.
That's what Paul said, right?
Say it again.
You would
sign,
you would release Tlaib,
yeah,
right?
That's yeah. true.
Tag Vollmer.
Yes,
and
that's what
Vollmer.
That's my. Yep.
Oh, yeah,
right.
That's
my
not what
I love Tlaib, but he was underwhelming. However,
yes.
the back end of the D started to pass the eyeball test when we got him, but that didn't change
when
he was off the field.
See, that's part of my whole dilemma with Tlaib. The numbers emphatically state one thing, but I don't think they ever really passed the eyeball test to me.
No.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying Tlaib specifically. I'm talking about the secondary looked, to me, eerily similar in the last eight games than it did in the first eight games. But the numbers tell a whole different story.
Well, part of the reason why was you're playing crap bum young quarterbacks.
Yeah, but they were playing crap bum young quarterbacks early in the season, too, and getting ripped up by some of them, like Sanchez and Fitzpatrick. Although Fitzpatrick ripped him up twice, so that's probably not
a gunslinger.
That's probably not a good comparison. But Sanchez had a great game the first time around, if you recall. Here.
Then he bumbled it away the second.
Oh, the bumble.
Bumbles bounce!
Tyler from Georgia writes, and anyone who doesn't consider Brady at least partially responsible for the AFC Championship loss is a fool. Anytime a half goes by and Brady has just as many TD passes as I do, things are not looking good.
So Paul says everybody in the lodge is a fool, right?
No, I would say that, to be fair, most guys probably think he didn't play well. But I hear a lot, and I use that term all the time, it wasn't his best game. I don't think he played well. I don't think that it wasn't his best game.
I just envision you driving home, and the radio's not on, but you're hearing things. Well, Brady was fine. It wasn't his fault. And you hear these things, and your radio's not on, Paul. It's coming in
your
head.
But Fred's right. Fred's right in one regard in talking about, like, depending on who you're listening to, and if you have Glenn Ordway on, you're hearing a lot of that. You're hearing,
right.
Well, it wasn't.
Apologies.
It wasn't Brady's fault.
Right.
They simply don't have enough playmakers.
And
I agree with him.
And on the other hand,
understood, but he didn't have enough playmakers all year and was able to play at a certain level. Without those playmakers in the playoffs, he plays at a lower level.
And if you listen to DNC in the morning, you'll hear criticism of Belichick, but you won't of Brady.
Exactly.
Because the only place that's objective is Patriots.com from noon to two, where we rip everyone.
Right. Dan writes in, great job this year. Andy's rant on Ray Lewis the other day was great. Turning the
lawyers calling from Baltimore.
Are you saying I'm creating a straw man argument here?
A little bit.
Turning the page to next year. Fact.
Come up with some documentation.
For many years now, teams with stout defenses have been the Patriots' kryptonite. What are we going to do about that in the offseason? My view generally for the Pats is that we invest more in the defensive secondary and offensive line to strengthen the run. Would love to have Ed Reed even at 34. That's Dan's 2 cents.
But what you have to ask yourself is, this style of defense that supposedly is the style that gives us trouble, does it give us trouble because the defense is better than the offense or because the offense doesn't play well in a specific game? That's the question you have to ask. Because, for instance, in 2010, I saw the Patriots put 45 up against that same defense. 5 weeks later, they had the blueprint on stopping the Patriots. Well, was that because of the Jets or because of the Patriots? Same thing this year to a different extent because there was some different people involved with Baltimore. But you put 30 on the board in Baltimore, and then you play them 4 months later in the playoffs, and you put 13 on at home. Mm-hmm. So is it because of is this the system that this offense can't beat? Or did you not play well?
Do you not ratchet up in the postseason?
Yeah.
And that gets into the physical play and what they allow to play and all that crap.
Raphael says, trading Brady? What are you talking about?
Fred brought it up.
You're selling Brady short. The Bengals got 2 first-round picks from Oakland for Carson Palmer. You don't think you could get more for Brady? Don't mention age, because even at his age, Brady is still much better than Palmer. Remember, whatever team he goes to would be drafting late in the round, so I wouldn't trade him for nothing. Less than 3 first-rounders or 2 first and 3 second. There are teams out there willing to give up a lot. Just look at what Atlanta gave up to move up in the draft to get Julio Jones. But we all laughed at the Raiders for giving up 2
And that was a special situation where the guy, they had no organizational hierarchy and control, and the coach who wanted to trade for him considers him like his godson or whatever. And it was like a personal move. That was a once-in-a-generation trade.
I think that is a tough one to compare because I think it was just such an absurd trade on the Raiders' part.
Right. But he's right. Big trades happen all the time. You have to find the right team who's desperate enough, willing enough. You know, Arizona thinks they're one quarterback away from making it work with Larry Fitzgerald.
Now he's on NFL Network, Gronk, doing everything today.
What the hell was that?
That's my phone.
Fred's got a meeting.
Isaac in Australia.
Ike.
In February last year, Christina. I sat down with my brother-in-law and watched my first NFL game, Super Bowl 46. At the time, I didn't have a clue how the game was played or which team was better. So I chose the Patriots, only to be disappointed because they lost. But nevertheless, this choice started me on a journey. a journey where I stumbled across a wonderful podcast where men talked about being men, breasts, and football. I've been listening since that day. You guys have become part of my life now. I've learned so much about football from you all and have become a dedicated Patriots fan. I just wanted to thank you for the hours of entertainment that you have provided. You have influenced me so much that in the ensuing moments of insulting someone, I think to myself, check. And my contractors must hand in their daily paperwork at the end of the day. All in all, I've had a great time listening. And P.S., if heartshotties.com or scalsgals.com does make it to the web, my wife has got the goods.
Well, send a photo, yes. and I'll be the judge of that.
All Although right. not on the air, because that would just be offensive.
That's going to be it for this edition of
PFW
in Progress.
Still haven't talked to Christian about his girl.
Thanks, everyone, for coming in this week. Have a good time.
Coming in?
You know, coming in to the airwaves. Okay. I don't know.
Stop. Have an option to not come in
have
this
a good,
week?
Have a good time watching the Super Bowl. I hope the best team wins, and I hope that team is...
Wait a minute.
I took the Niners and their cover. We're supposed to make picks.
We should do picks.
All right, quickly.
Who won last week?
I don't even know what the spread is.
Oh, it's four, isn't it?
I think it was down to...
I'm taking Baltimore no matter what.
I'm taking San Francisco by four. No matter what.
San Francisco by four.
I'm taking San Fran no matter what. You can tell me it's 3.5, 4.5, whatever. San Francisco's the better team, they win.
I'm taking San Francisco.
And I have one other prediction. If the Ravens do win, New England plays the Ravens on Thursday night to open the season when the schedule comes out, as it always does, in early to mid-April.
Okay, Eric,
I will take San Francisco, but we'll be rooting for Baltimore.
You'll be rooting for Baltimore?
Yes. Wow. I just don't think that they can.
Because he, like Terrell Suggs, hates Tom Brady.
All right. We'll see you next week.
On Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.